Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the weekend, and we are celebrating the weekend, roaring into the weekend, another exciting COVID weekend with the Drew and Mike show. And we've got a full house again, and we have Carl from Who Are These Podcasts.
Hey, what's happening?
How you feeling, Carl?
I'm feeling excellent, buddy. Thanks for having me on again.
I think it's a nice break from everything going on right now to go after some podcasts and find out what's out there. In addition to the usual fare, today was just a crazy day because the NBA canceled last night. You're talking about canceling the season, which I just thought was that LeBron wanting that and the other players not wanting it, or what was going on there?
The word was the Clippers and the Lakers both wanted to cancel.
And it's done if both of those teams are out, right?
Oh yeah,
I think Milwaukee gets a St. Trudy.
I don't know
what I'm talking about. I think the defending champ Raptors have a say.
Well, they would have been still defending, I guess. I don't know. It was just so strange. And then the NHL didn't play. And then baseball was playing. But, oh, my God, baseball, they're terrible. What a bunch of racists. And today, I thought we were going to have baseball games. But then just a short time ago, I saw where the Tigers have postponed tonight's game. And the WNBA, too.
Okay. Great.
Now, is baseball, did they really want to cancel, or do they just feel like, oh, God, we better cancel because we're going to look like a bunch of racists if we play?
No, I've seen a lot of support from, players like David Price and Jack Flaherty, big names.
How cynical of you, Drew.
Let me ask you something. If someone did not to cancel games and said, we shouldn't be canceling, would they really say it publicly? Would they go, hey, this is bullshit?
If they disagreed and didn't want... of course they wouldn't say that.
No, they wouldn't. But
that doesn't mean because they did, they don't agree.
But, like I mentioned David Price...
No, I'm not saying that.
Price had thrown some tweets out earlier today that mentioned that some of his players maybe didn't like that they were not going to play, and he didn't name them, but he shamed them. My players, basically calling them insincere.
Is Doc Rivers going to be all right?
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
Man, he looked broken up.
I know. I tell you, it's really strange. Also, now, the Kenosha incident was on Sunday, wasn't it? Or was it Monday? It was three nights ago, wasn't it?
Feels like forever ago.
Didn't they wait a whole day and then they canceled a day? Because there were games the previous day in baseball and everything, and nobody said anything. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, the NBA cancels. And it was almost like I don't know why, but it seemed kind of odd. I mean, sometimes it takes a couple days for these things to sort of sink in. But nonetheless, this is just the weirdest thing. First of all, completing the NBA season in July and August and the playoffs in September. And then this, and then you got baseball and COVID, and teams that have played 3 games, and teams that have played 20 games. It's just got to be the craziest year, hopefully ever. Although I have to admit, I really have been enjoying the baseball. I don't know about you guys. Carl, you're a baseball fan.
Yeah, and most importantly, my fantasy team is undefeated so far this year. Everyone wants to hear about people's fantasy teams.
Oh, yeah. You and Brandon could exchange some notes.
No, man, last night my Cubs lost the rubber match to the
Tigers.
Tigers. That was tough, man. Our relievers came in and really shit the bed.
Yes, they did, and the Tigers relievers tried to do the same thing, too. And, speaking of the Tigers, Manning and whoever the other hot pitcher, Fado, are out for the year. Not that they were going to pitch anywhere, but they have shoulder strains and or forearm strains, and they've shut them down. I thought that was kind of weird. And I don't know. I'm just not as – when those guys are in the minors, and it's like, oh, my God, we have these great pitchers. And then when they come up and they lose a couple games, like – I'm not as excited about these guys anymore. I do like them. I think they'll be good, but it takes more than a couple arms to get moving. Let's see. So much else, but first let me remind you that Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water's everywhere in your home. It could be a leaky sink. It could be behind the fridge, behind the washing machine or the dishwasher, 3 feet in the basement. It could be mold left behind from water. It could be so many bad things that you need to call Emergency Response Services Incorporated right now, 877-JOB-DONE, or visit 877jobdone.com.
You know, it'd be great as if we could get on Facebook Live, but every time we do something weird, fucked up, and I don't know.
Well, they would bring
only
you
Brandon
Facebook
is
Live.
On Facebook Live.
What do you mean?
Are you serious? Now everybody is.
I ended it. I canceled it. I'm done with it.
Was Brandon soloing on Facebook Live for a while there?
He was for a minute.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Shit, I had no idea. I was the one that was supposed to be off camera.
Just always.
No, he was.
Just always act like you're on camera.
He was lip-syncing the spot with you.
Hey, these are crazy times. What can I say? Haven't heard from Mrs. Woods lately. It's kind of nice.
Mrs. Woods.
And Royal Oak. Downtown Royal Oak is looking for your Royal Oak Bucks this weekend. Hopefully you'll get down there and spend your $20 because they gave away $400,000 in $20 increments. And people have spent, I want to say, $150,000 or something like that. There's plenty more. And people are doing it every day. I get the notifications. Another 150 people. So keep spending. And remember that Lyft is available for $10 off if you use the code GO2RO. $10 off going in, $10 off going home. Free parking in all the parking buildings. However, you do have to pay for the parking structures. You do have to pay for the meters. And what else should I tell you about Royal Oak?
It's a wonderful place.
Oh, they were taking the 1,000 additional. Have they given away the 1,000 additional?
I bet you they have by now. Because they said everybody that signed up beforehand, when they didn't have the money approved, we're going to get their money.
Well, go to visitroyaloak.com.
That's
anyway.
The only way to find out, yeah.
So there you go. And the Hall Financial Hotline is officially available. I don't know if we're calling anyone on the Hall Financial Hotline today.
Man, there's a really fun story about these two old-timers in Montana, and a bear broke into their house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And they, if you read their quotes, they are quite the characters. So I reached out to them. I haven't heard back from them yet, but we could always try them.
What happened? Did they tackle the bear? Did they shoot the bear?
No, well, the one guy, she's like, why don't you take some pictures of it, Don? Or no, she said, why don't you take some pictures, Don? And he started taking pictures of her.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, no, of the bear.
Is that the bear? Wow. Is that the bear by the window?
Don took a dump in his bed later on that night.
Yeah, and probably took a picture of it, too, Trudy.
You guys can see this. But there's the lady. She's looking at the window, which the bear is right under the window.
I believe they beat off the bear with the screen of the window and his hand.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. She looks pretty fired up there.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
Her comments were pretty funny, I thought.
And the Hall Financial Hotline, of course, is brought to you by Hall Financial. They want you to know mortgage rates are, down to 2.5 in some cases. A lot of people are saving a lot of money. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, you should call Hall Financial and see if you can save some money. A lot of people are. Some people have done it in the last 6 months in the refinancing. Call 248-308-5000. They got 1,700 five-star reviews. And they do it in a 19-day average. And don't bring that average down because we get upset. They don't get upset, but we do. Their NMLS number 1467435, davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike, or you can go to our website and click the link. And, boy, before we get into our podcasts with who are these podcast hosts, Carl, we were talking before the show about people who are in big trouble today. First of all, Brian Urlacher was trending, so I knew right away he either died or he said something really stupid. Now, I just don't really know Brian Urlacher well enough to know if he would or wouldn't say something stupid. But
he used to nail Paris Hilton. I mean, does that provide any context?
Well,
funny you should bring her up.
What's up with Paris?
Did you find out what it was that was so traumatic about her childhood?
Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Sorry, I knew that would be the case, but
she was bullied.
I have not had my chance to vent my outrage that she was just said people were just mean to her at school.
I know.
Yeah, because she was such a brat.
I felt really bad, but I kind of meant it when I said, when she was teasing it, like, oh, this is a horrible revelation. And I said, she better have been sexually assaulted. and that was the wrong thing to say. But as it turns out, I'm mad and I feel like she should have been sexually assaulted to make that claim.
I went down on that.
Brian Urlacher. Okay, did he go out with Paris Hilton for a period of time, or was it a one-time thing, or was it a retap?
Enough for her to show up in his suite. at a couple games. She showed up. She showed up in his box, and then he showed up in hers.
Well, I got to tell you, she so does not stupid. Appear on his Who's Dated Who.
What?
Yeah, so they need to update that. But you know who does show up
maybe,
on there?
Maybe he was courting her, and it didn't work out.
Nobody courts her.
Courting. Jenny McCarthy's on there, though.
Really? Oh,
Brian Urlacher?
Yeah.
Well, she's from Chicago?
She's there now, I think. Yeah, I think she's from that area. Well, anyway, Urlacher, I don't know why, what inspires this sort of thing. Or I really don't know why anybody gets mad enough to post something stupid, because I really am not posting anything political anymore. I just want out. I just want to be known for doing this show that's fun, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But Urlacher said, Brett Favre threw 4 touchdown passes the day his father died and is a legend for playing in the face of adversity. NBA players boycotting playoffs because of a dude reaching for a knife wanted on a sexual assault charge, warrant, was shot by police. So, I guess he thinks the NBA shouldn't be. They're pussies for boycotting, is the message there. So he was trending in just the worst way. Aubrey Huff called the 17-year-old who killed 2 people and shot 3 his hero.
Oh.
So he was, that didn't go over too well. You know what I saw just before we started today was Herschel Walker's son, who I've never heard of. Is it Jacob Walker, or did anybody see that?
I didn't even know he had a kid.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple. This guy's looked like late 20s. He was calling, let's see, Herschel Walker's son. He called Jacob Blake a crazy violent criminal, and he wanted protesters not to pull another George Floyd, not over this guy. And I didn't see if he was trending or anything. I just saw that somebody, you know, was commenting on this
great
tweet. So, and he's Herschel Walker's son. So I guess
we have
thirsty are the Walkers these days.
Yeah, Herschel. Boy, I was not expecting to see Herschel Walker at the RNC. Not that I was looking at the RNC.
Herschel's speech at the RNC was basically like the, "Hey, Trump's been cool to me, so he's cool. He'll be cool to you guys." That's really the summation of his speech.
He's a likable guy to put up there. I mean,
Herschel?
Yeah, I would think.
Sure.
He played for the Generals.
Like the white equivalent of us saying we have a black friend.
A little bit, except he was like the third black friend that night.
That's true.
Monday was African American night at the RNC.
Herschel getting Chachi like they did last time.
Yeah, or Sabato Jr. Antonio.
Somebody was suggesting that those guys are going to be back this time, and I thought, oh my God, that is so stupid to have 2 people like that twice, but they didn't. Although maybe they should have, because I saw the ratings are down 25% for the RNC.
Oh, which, God, there's only one person who cares about that.
Well, the weird thing about that was I thought, oh, that's right. People watch this, and people keep track of it. Cause
it's not a good watch.
I can't imagine watching a whole convention.
It's not a good watch when there's not all the dopes in the crowd for either side. You got to have the cheering crowds.
It's not something I would probably care to watch anytime. Although I think I did watch it in 2016 because I...
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Trump was new, so it was all kind of weird. And then...
Bill was fascinated by all those big balloons.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I watched a lot of 2016. Yeah, that was pretty... It's funny. It doesn't feel... In a weird way, it feels more heated this time. Like, I feel like the country could blow up after this election. But last time, I felt like Trump and Hillary hated each other more. I mean, it was more of a direct kind of thing, depending on which side you were on. I'm going to completely be a hypocrite here, though, and say that I feel like a lot of people are voting against the other person. I mean, I know there's the base, but aren't a lot of people voting against Trump? And aren't a lot of people just voting against the left?
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
you guys think that?
No, there's a big anti-Trump vote.
That there's sort of a lack of an inspirational figure. There's no heroes, sort of.
And last time
we kind of need one.
Last time was different because everyone thought Hillary was a shoo-in. It wasn't even a contest. No one thought Trump had a chance.
I have to admit, I really did not imagine. I mean, even as they were discussing in the final days, like, oh my God, you have to do this, and then it all happened amazingly. And wow, were people crying on election night? Oh boy,
that's
it was
right.
A tough day. So, okay, what else? There was
what
one more thing.
Was Chelsea Handler, by the way. She did not take that news well.
Ooh, what a segue.
Did someone say they were going to... Did she say she was going to leave the country, or who said they were going to leave the country? Because a few people
She is a goofus.
And then tried to say, oh, I was just kidding.
Well, Alec Baldwin crying. Was going to.
Yep. Alec Baldwin. That's another guy, podcasting. Yeah, Carl and I have been talking about Chelsea Handler's podcast for a while. And Carl, you finally helped yourself, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, I checked out Life Will Be the Death of Me with Chelsea Handler.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Chelsea Handler, you and I started talking about this, and I said she has to be one of the most narcissistic podcast hosts there is, if not the most. And then I got talking about, well, God, there ought to be a list there of the most narcissistic podcast hosts. Did you have some favorites?
Wow.
As far as narcissism levels?
Yeah, I actually put together my top 10 list just from the shows that we've reviewed. Now, we're up to 220.
That's a lot of shows.
So there's a lot of podcasts here.
And there's a lot of narcissism.
There's a ton. Well, I've been starting a podcast.
Yes.
There's a lot of narcissism.
There is. All right. Well, take it away.
All right. Let me give you my top 10. Coming in at number 10 is Opie. And the reason why Opie is only 10 is because he has been taken down a couple of pegs.
Yeah. But, really? You can hear it in his voice, too.
You can hear it in his voice. He's lost his confidence. He's lost his swagger. But he's still on the list because he thinks that he can just go on Facebook Live and put that out as a podcast, just talking to people randomly on Facebook Live. He's not talented enough to do that, and he shouldn't be doing it, but he still does.
Does he get a lot of people to talk to, or does he just have to talk to whoever shows up there?
It's literally 100 people.
Yeah. Well, there's a problem.
Wait. Yes. So, Carl, does he invite people to come to a certain place and then...
No, what happens is he's got this Facebook group called the Pod Squad.
Okay.
So all the Pod Squad will get a notification when he goes live. And it's random. It's not like it's a scheduled time. And so whoever just happens to pop on at that time can chat with them and he'll answer questions. Oh. But he gets pissed. He gets pissed if you ask him, I'll be an Anthony, but I'll answer your question.
That must be great in the beginning, too, when he probably sits there waiting for it to populate.
It's the worst. Oh, hey, I see Snowy's here. What's up, Snowy? Hey, it's Mark is here. Brett Dodd. Hey, what's up, Brett Dodd? He's calling every single person individually as they come in.
I love that with any Instagram Live or Facebook Live. The second it starts, most of the beginning of it is just someone staring blankly at a camera waiting for the people to populate.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of trolls, too, weren't there?
Well,
there must be trolls on that thing.
Opie gets trolls, and he gets really pissed off at them. But Stuttering John does the same format, and he has the most trolls, and it's so funny to watch because he gets so irritated.
Well, I can't wait to dig into Stuttering John one of these days. But anyway, let's roll through this list.
All right. Number 9, Perez Hilton, which Perez Hilton makes everything about him, which is funny because he's supposed to be a gossip columnist. Like, his whole point is talking about other people, and yet now that he's a celebrity, he makes everything about him.
That's an awful show. I've heard it. Really bad.
It's really bad. There's a show called Let There Be Talk with a guy named Dean Del Rey. Dean Del Rey is actually Bill Burr's opener. He's a stand-up comedian. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him.
No, I haven't.
But we listen to his show, and it's unbelievable. Every guest he talks to, because he used to play rock music, and he does stand-up, so he makes everything about his performances and everything he's done. Like, no one's ever heard of you, dude. Who cares?
Have you guys reviewed him for who are these podcasts?
We did, yeah. It's called Let There Be Talk.
I will get check that out.
Number 7, Bert Kreischer. We just did Two Bears,
should be
One
higher.
Cave. Wow, maybe. We just did Two Bears, One Cave this past week, the episode that just came out, and that's him with Tom Segura. And Bert Kreischer couldn't be more proud of himself. They literally ate peanut butter on their podcast. That was the content, them eating peanut butter.
I heard the show you reviewed for Bert, his own podcast, Carl. This was maybe a couple years ago, and you busted him like 3 times where his guest said, are you something happening on your phone? Because he was reading text messages or something. Oh, I'm just finishing typing this out. Hold on a second. It was like dead air while he finished responding to someone on the phone. It just seemed a little selfish.
And he's not embarrassed by that. And I think that screams narcissism. Mm-hmm.
But only number 7. So who's
only number
next?
7. We got some good ones in here.
Take it away.
Number 6 is Chris D'Elia. I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
This guy came on his show completely unprepared, had nothing to talk about, and still did an hour just going, Family Guy, bro, Family Guy. What a great show, bro. Ugh. Come on, man. Family Guy, come on, bro.
Is he? He is extinguished. I mean, he's pretty he's much. Cooked. It's over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. He's donezo.
Wow, that's brutal. Okay, number five.
Number five is a guy named Jack Brennan, and he is the host of a show called Disgraceland.
Are you familiar with heard of that?
Yes, I've heard it. I've heard it.
This show is bonkers. It's supposedly it's like a true crime rock and roll show, and what he does is he goes into famous stories of musicians, but he makes up everything. None of it actually happened. He's talking about what the guy was thinking while he was creating, doing something, or two people alone in a room and what they were talking about. It's like, it's all just made up.
You know what?
I heard you talking about him with how about Hendrix. He was making up stories about Jimi Hendrix. It's
like, I have to admit, I liked the show the first couple times. The more Disgracelands I heard, the more I thought, he's not doing any original. I mean, he's doing a bare minimum reporting, like maybe getting a couple things off Wikipedia and just making it sound real dramatic. And okay, I'm there with you all the way. Number four.
He jumped the shark. I think he came out of the gate pretty hot and then got really full of himself. And it's just gone down.
Yeah, that show gets a lot of attention. I don't know why.
Number four, Chelsea Handler, for reasons that we will get into in a moment. Okay. I have clips to prove this.
All right.
Number three, Sophia Franklin, who you might know as the co-host on Call Her Daddy, who is no longer on Call Her Daddy. Yeah.
Well, her ego's been stroked a lot lately, too.
Is she the one that's left doing it or the one that left?
No. She's the one who could not negotiate a deal with Barstool. And so they finally just said, we'll just do it without you. That's fine.
I think she made the wise choice, too, because that square-headed boyfriend of hers just got blown out at HBO, too.
Ooh.
He did.
She turned down. They guaranteed her a nice chunk of change, too.
I know.
I mean, that was wild for somebody who had never really done much of anything. Now, so she's not doing anything?
Not that I know of. Yeah.
According to Dave Portnoy, the deal was, the offer was $500,000 a year, plus after 3 years, you can get out of this and you own all of your stuff, which is unheard of.
Yeah. It's...
And he still was like, not good enough. Like, okay.
Well, her partner, who is doing it alone now, or does she have someone new? Anybody know?
I think she's doing alone, yeah.
She's still way up there. She's like top five, so good for her.
I thought she'd be done as soon as she came back with a show where she talked about how she's not really a whore and it's all an act. I'm like, okay, well, this is over then. Bye-bye. But no, people are still listening.
I have noticed it took a long time, but Guys We Fucked has slowly moved down as they apparently... They need to fuck new guys or something. But it was really, I mean, top five, top ten for a long time. And then slowly, I notice it's drifting. So maybe Call Her Daddy probably, or whatever it's called, probably has a little ways to go. But I don't know. I think that's kind of a temporary thing. Unless the host is truly inspiring. And maybe she is.
Well, I discovered that the audience for that show was not who I thought it was. I thought it was probably teenage boys. It's actually women 15 to 25.
Oh, those are the worst.
Really?
Yeah. The
they are, man. They're causing all the problems in America.
The FSAs, the future sluts of America, are listening to that?
They are, man.
Yeah, I would think women would like that show. A certain type of woman would, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we now? What number?
Number two will surprise nobody, Mr. Rob Lowe. This guy made every question about him.
That was bad.
It was so ridiculous.
Amen.
It was almost an art form, though, making every question about him, how he did it.
It was impressive.
When did we meet?
No, he goes, when did you first meet me?
Even worse.
So bad. Okay, I'm trying to think, who would be number one? Who is number one, Carl?
Number one is number one by a long shot. This will not be debated. There is nothing to debate here. It's David Lee Roth.
Oh, wow.
DLR. This guy is off the chart with narcissism.
Whoa, wait. I was going to guess Alec Baldwin. Did you name him in your top 10 or is he number 11?
Alec Baldwin is pretentious. Okay. And he is narcissistic, but he didn't crack the top 10.
Okay. It's your list.
Yay! Sorry, John.
I think I'm going to agree with you. All right, well, let's just, Carl, launch into Chelsea Handler. Just take over.
Okay, here we go. Track number one kind of introduces what this show is and sums it up, and then we'll get into it from there.
So I just kind of want to take everybody through my journey of taking this book on the road. of talking to all the different people on the road who are going to interview me. I have all sorts of fun people. And I also have my psychiatrist, Dan Siegel, who will be coming on to talk with me about me, my problems, and potentially you and yours.
Is that some kind of...
Don't count on it.
Is that
right? Maybe it'll be something you can relate to. Probably not.
Is that weird to have your psychiatrist on? I mean, don't you think they might give you different advice knowing that they're going to have to talk about it later with you to an audience? Yeah.
You know, she's, to her credit, probably works for her. I also heard the show. I don't know if you listen to the show, Carl, but there's one of the last shows she did, because her season is over, I believe, was, I think it was Mary McCormick, who's an actress, right?
Yeah, she played Howard Stern's wife.
Yeah. Mary McCormick is at, I think they're in public doing it live somewhere, and Mary is going through Chelsea's boyfriends and telling her, like, what went wrong with that relationship.
Lord.
I'm thinking, God, does Mary really want to do that? I mean, and you know, Chelsea was delighted. She had a ball. But anyway, take it away, Carl.
I don't know why they're friends. Apparently, they're BFFs.
Oh, okay.
Her and Mary McCormick. In my track number two, this is Mary explaining how difficult it is to be friends with Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, remember how you said that thing to that girl at that party? She had on a pink dress.
No, what?
And you said something like, oh, that's like... I like your dress. And I was like, oh, right away I get nervous because I knew you don't like it. So right away my blood runs cold. Like I know the rest is coming. And she was like, oh, thanks. And she knew each other when you were young or whatever. And then you said something like, yeah, it's like summer horror or something. And then just walked away. And I know her. So I was left like, and she went, God, that's so mean, huh? And I was like, she's just trying to be funny. It's just her being funny. You know, she just likes to make a joke and walk away. And she just was like,
Oh, that's so mean.
What in the hell are they talking about?
I don't think that was mic drop funny.
No.
I mean, if she just walked away because she makes a joke and walks away like a mic drop.
Yeah, cool.
Chelsea's just literally being an overt asshole to people and annoying them. And then her poor friend has to stand there and be like, oh, she didn't mean it. Sorry about that. She's like, damage control is what you have to do when you're Chelsea Handler's friend. Good time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the reason why this podcast exists, because as you said, Drew, it just has a number of episodes. It came and it went. The whole point is to promote her new book. And it's very similar to David Lee Roth's podcast that was just promoting his Las Vegas residency. Yeah. The only reason why this exists is to say, my book's amazing. You have to read my book. I'm going to have people on to talk to me about my book.
Yeah!
They're going to tell me how great my book is. And she's on a book tour during this. In number three, this is again Mary McCormick talking about how amazing Chelsea's book is.
This book is as funny as all your other books and then has all this other, it breaks your heart as well. I mean, it's really, I mean, I've talked to so many people who are like in tears reading it and then feel sort of healed after, you know?
Wrong.
You know, it's early, the greatest book ever written.
What the hell was that?
That is ridiculous.
You know, I have to hand it to her in a way. The fact that, you know, she does a podcast series about her book and her being interviewed about the book. I mean, it's so about her, and yet it works. I mean, people listen to it. It's pretty incredible.
And they buy the book. Yeah.
All she has to be is her all the time. So the joke's kind of on everyone else.
She even gets her psychiatrist, Dr. Dan Siegel, who is a well-known, reputable psychiatrist, to... kiss her ass and compliment her book also. Play track six.
First of all, that you're willing to be so open about what I think is a very courageous journey that you've been on in therapy.
Oh, Jesus.
And from, you know, what people are giving you feedback about, it's inspiring them.
I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but Chelsea Handler has a lot of money, right? Is her journey that relatable?
Of course not.
No, not at all.
I mean, you guys have listened to the podcast. I haven't listened to her podcast. I can't imagine how relatable that journey is.
I found myself just laughing hysterically because I just couldn't believe how unrelatable it was. And her therapist, after hearing, you know, Mary talk about her, and, you know, she makes this nasty joke to this innocent person and walks away, just a total bitch. As her therapist, I wouldn't feel like a very good therapist. I wouldn't want to be known as her therapist because I don't get the feeling that she's very other-directed at all.
Let me explain what the crux of all of this is, because this is the most fascinating part. Basically, what's happened is Chelsea has transformed from a complete asshole to someone who can tolerate other people just like a normal person.
Well, I guess it's a journey of sort. Maybe more people need to take that journey. There's a lot of assholes out there.
It's unbelievable. It's like, look at, I used to be a giant raging cunt and now I'm normal. Like, okay.
Most people usually have that journey, what, in their young 20s and learn as they grow up to be an adult, how to be an adult.
I don't hear this really nice Chelsea Handler at all. I mean, I never hear it. Never heard it, never hear it. But, wow. Is there a track for that one, Carl?
Track 7 is more about her psychiatrist explaining how amazing her book is.
And because your book is so clear and it's funny and it's really articulate and in so many ways brilliant.
Oh, boy.
Good God.
Couldn't they just put that on the back leaf of the book?
You know, right. You know what's weird with shows like ours? It doesn't work if people don't rag on each other. I mean, guys won't accept that. I mean, if we just sat around and said how great, you know, I am or how great we all are, people would just be, they'd be sickened by it. I don't know any successful guy shows that work that way.
Because people don't do that for real. You don't sit around with your buddies going, oh, man, remember that great time we had and you're wonderful and I love that thing you're working on now.
Oh, God, where'd you get that shirt?
I don't think friends do that. At least my friends don't.
No, guys don't, but that's kind of what I was getting at. Do women, are there women shows, Trudy? Do women hang out and rag on each other?
Yeah, we rag on each other all
behind each other's backs.
Nonstop. Yeah.
Is there a female podcast or show that does that? Because I feel like it'd be fun to listen to.
Women hate women.
I don't know. I'll get my gang together and we can do it.
I mean, it's just such an ass kiss fest with Chelsea.
Yeah.
Okay, so the therapist makes a really controversial appearance on the show. And
how amazing she is and how great her book is.
Keep it coming.
So she has her assistant on the show, Brandon. And Brandon is a 30-year-old gay man who is...
Of course he's gay.
I would have... Just like
of course he's gay.
That's a great name.
It's redundant like to say he's gay, I think.
Yeah. because of the name Brandon?
Redundant?
No, redundant because we know her assistant would be a gay guy.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Which cut?
They are attached at the hip. He spends all day, every day with her. She can't live her life and function without her personal assistant. But like a narcissist would, she has no idea. She doesn't know anything about him. Play track 10.
We got the spicy nuggets.
We have no willpower. Well, I have no willpower. Powder, and Brandon is from North Dakota, right?
South Dakota,
right? Like I said, one of the Dakotas, and so he eats this kind of shit all day long.
Oh, that's funny.
He was an intern on Chelsea lately. She's known this guy for over a decade, and they work together every day. Where are you from again?
I missed out, man.
I'm going to defend her a little bit. Who cares about North versus South Dakota? I mean, the fact that you remember Dakota is pretty good.
I did think that momentarily, and I agree with you, Mark. But if I was with someone for a long time, I probably would have asked them 20 times, but I think I would know.
You would
at that
hope.
Point after that long.
Yeah.
And so, it fits.
So because Brandon's been on this journey along with Chelsea, she feels as though they've been on this journey together. And, of course, she asked this question where they want to talk about it, track 11.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we talk about our journey, Brandon, our journey together in the past 3 years? You've been witness to all of my changes and all of my self-discovery.
Oh. Our journey, let's talk about our journey. You know, when you see me get better and I'm amazing now.
Trudy, do you like Chelsea Handler? Did you ever like Chelsea Handler? I'm just wondering from some female's perspective here.
I did. I used to like when her show was really hip. There was a time, though, when everyone had to watch her show. I remember I would get mad, though, because somebody in the radio station would come in and disrupt all of my news by taping her show. So at that point, it turned against Chelsea. I tried reading one of her books. It was so bad and self-involved, even back then, like three books ago.
But do you remember? Do you remember having her on the show when her first big book came out?
I do.
My Horizontal Life. She was great.
Yeah, I thought she was good too. There was a time when I did kind of like her. I think I liked her. I was never crazy about the show, not because I didn't like her. I just didn't think she was that funny.
Yeah, she wasn't. But that was all before her journey, so maybe it's better now.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember who else was on the show? I just remember that guy Chewy.
Yeah, that's it.
Not funny.
No, no.
Not funny at all.
Joe Coy was on there all the time.
Joe Coy is pretty funny.
Good. Yeah, he's a good comedian. Yeah. She broke a lot of comedians from that show. I never watched it.
Yeah.
One thing.
Neither. I mean, I tried to watch it, and I felt like I should watch it, but it just wasn't up to snuff for me anyway. But it was on for a long time. She's a great success. I can't stop pointing that out because I just find her so unlikable.
I have a problem with her doing a podcast just to promote a book.
I know. What's disgraceful about it is that people listen to it. God damn it.
Does she have a bunch of advertisers, Carl?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep. It's got advertising. It's on iHeartRadio?
Oh, okay.
So there's all the built-in advertising around that.
Do you remember offhand who advertises on it?
Yes. The VMAs. And now this is probably pushed in after the fact. She doesn't do live reads.
Uh-huh.
So this is probably just because I just downloaded it this past week. And so the VMA is advertising on there, which pisses me off because Cuomo has given a pass.
Yeah.
The celebrities don't have to have a 14-day grace period.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Funny you bring that up. I have not heard that hardly anywhere that, you know, New York's got this really hardcore. If you're from X amount of states, you got to sit it out. But unless you're performing at the VMAs, which why do they need to be there? Why do they actually have to be on site to perform?
No, they don't. In fact, what is the crowd going to look like? Somebody in every sixth seat?
I don't think they're having an audience, are they?
They're just there live, just to be there live, as opposed to doing it the way everyone else is doing it.
You're on a stage. Mm-hmm.
I guess.
That is kind of weird.
Nobody cares about MTV.
But it is a good buy. I mean, that's obviously a good advertiser to have, no question. And I'm sure I'm sure the podcast probably makes a lot of money, so, you know, I'm envious.
Sure. Grant on Facebook Live says she's brought to you by Monistat.
All right.
So Brandon lists all of Chelsea's recent accomplishments, and Chelsea is quick to correct him because he missed one, track 12.
That's a great name. All right. Well, back to kind of the last year, you released the book. You started in conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone into stand-up. You just had a documentary release.
I have this podcast.
Yeah, you had the podcast.
Oh, God.
We're on the podcast. We know. That's what we're listening to.
All right.
I didn't even know that existed.
How about maybe just a couple more Chelseas, and then let's move on. I got to do a break, and we'll come back with Baldwin, and we got, I think, a cut from Pauly Shore or two.
The worst part about this, I listened to the final episode, the conclusion episode, where they wrap it all up. And what's so amazing about this is that she's been having smoke blown up her ass now for weeks that she's on this book tour, and everyone's Jake Tapper's on there, and
Jake Tapper's on there.
Yes.
Why is Jake Tapper on there?
Oh, Jake Tapper's interviewing her. Sean Hayes is interviewing her. Everyone's blowing smoke up her ass.
Oh, okay. Most
amazing book ever.
Okay.
So of course now she feels like she's actually not promoting herself, but giving back, track 13.
So that's nice to hear. And I think the feedback in general from the book and the documentary has been really nice because it feels like I'm finally contributing something instead of just cashing a check for my own purposes.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh, man.
Do you think she really believes that?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind really of do? She does.
Yes.
I know, it's really strange. I was so taken aback by her podcast, and I had to really kind of prod Carl to give it a listen. Didn't I, Carl? You didn't want to listen to it.
I was not looking forward to it.
I knew
I started going through it. I was enjoying how pompous she was.
But I knew it'd be a good podcast for you. I just knew it.
One more from Chelsea, because I just called this blowhard statement. She couldn't be more self-important in track 15.
I mean, that's where I'm drawn to the most now, is having conversations with real people about real issues and real ways to get involved, to do actionable things, to show up for other communities, not just your own.
What?
Does that mean anything?
No.
Oh my God.
No, it's a very generic, kind of benign call to action.
What are all these books about, Trudy? Do you know what are her books about? I can't remember. I've seen them on the shelves. I hear they sell a ton of copies. What are people reading about that's so important?
Authority on her, but the one I read two pages of was about her traveling around the world. So, and she had a similar entourage, like, you know, this podcast with all of her friends around her. So,
she writes about sleeping her way to the top of show business. I think that's like her big thing. Is that she slept with a lot of guys who got her into places where she was able to make a name for herself and obviously go on to fame and stardom.
Carl, did you hear the boyfriend podcast where Mary's running through her guys?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's real. I mean, it's amazing some of the more than unflattering things that are said about these people. I'm like, wow. I mean, you just said this guy's name. He's kind of a, you know, some of them aren't exactly known to the world. And just these really, the kind of things that if a guy said about her, I'm sure she'd be livid. And, right. And including the group, by the way, 50 Cent was banging her for a while.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Do you think maybe he wants her to back off that?
I don't think he cares.
Okay.
It's a conquest.
You know, that's kind of a funny story because that broke off because Chelsea was having a guest. Wait, was her show still going then? I guess it was because she said somehow she was becoming professionally entangled with somebody that 50 Cent used to bang. So he was warning her that, hey, I used to bang that chick that you're going to be interviewing or whatever. And and Chelsea was so, I guess, upset by that or angry at that she's kind of told him to fuck off and they never talked again.
Oh, really? Well, that's yeah. Nice. That's wow. Lovely.
You want to hear them during happier times?
Sure.
Yeah.
Go Charlotte. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fudge that it's your birthday.
Just wrecked that song for me.
Hey, Mark, can you do a couple reads for me?
Sure. Sure.
I got something to drink. All right, we'll be back with Paulie and more.
And bye-bye, Facebook Live, after it got restarted.
Hey, do you want Arizona iced tea? I got some of that Arizona iced tea. I love the can.
Okay. Sorry. I got too many things going on. But I do need to tell you about the Yaldo Eye Center. They got a lot of things going on, too. They're back with us. They're open again. They're doing what he's done for tens of thousands of Detroiters. That's given them freedom from glasses, contacts, reading glasses. Get basic, regular seeing eyeballs. Give them the best vision of their lives. Most of Dr. Yaldo's custom LASIK patients actually get better than 20/20 vision without glasses and contacts. Sarah, for instance, said, my contacts didn't work so well with astigmatism. This was the best experience ever. Amazing how well I see without anything on my eyes. So it worked for her.
That way.
Well, I don't know. That's my Sarah voice, Trudy. COVID's changed a lot in our lives, but one thing you can change for the better is life-lasting, crisp, sharp vision. If you're 45 or over, please ask Dr. Yaldo about multifocal lens exchange. You'll see the microscopic print with your far vision in high-def HD. This is not hype. Surgeries are the safest. They have the fewest side effects in all of medicine. Get a free evaluation. Find out which procedure will change your life in ways you can only imagine. Call 1-800-398-EYES. If you don't know how to spell it, EYES. 1-800-3-EYES. Some people don't. 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And tell them that Drew and Mike sent you. Like I said, I've gotten it done. It was great. I love not having to wear. Carl, you should do it too. Get rid of those stupid glasses.
Unless you're using them to look smarter.
Yeah, do you have real lenses in those, Carl?
I do wear them to look smarter.
Well, it's working. You look brilliant. You'll also look brilliant if you get a Ford. Because right now, Zot Ford and Holly and Deals in the D, they've kicked off. Unlike the Big Ten, their summer sales event. That means you'll get deals as hot as our midsummer days and Brand Don's meals delivered during each podcast. Plus, Zot Ford, they have considerably more inventory to choose from than most dealers, so finding the new whip of your dreams is never a problem. Right now, Zot Ford has eight new 2020 Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs that you can lease below $200 a month. They have Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, all-wheel drive Escapes, Edges, Explorers, anything that begins with an E. And let's not forget Super Crew 4x4, F-150s, and the all-new Ford Rangers, each for under $200 a month. Believe it or not, many listeners who originally leased from Zot in the early days of the podcast are going into their second and third leases. Like we all know, the super listener John Tucker, who apparently has just bought Zot Ford out of all their cars. So regardless, if you leased your last ride from Zot, what is this? If you leased your last ride from Zot or not be like John?
Yeah.
That wording is
whatever.
Weird.
Just go to
fucking Zot.
Just get a Ford from Zot.
They have the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the person who wrote that, which
is. Don't laugh at Gabara. No, that read was a total mess. I'll admit it. I omit it.
I think the Pauly Shore podcast was kind of a turning point for me. Paulie always comes around. You know, he's at Ridley's or he's somewhere, and it seems like we're always faced with, do you want to have Paulie Shore on? And it's always an interesting decision, and the answer is almost always yes, because I mean everybody knows Paulie.
He's hit or miss though. Last time he was terrible.
He can be disappointing, and then he'll surprise you once in a while. And he knows a lot of people, and he drops a lot of names, and he always has. I mean, he had a documentary out a while ago, and I guess he has a new movie coming. Is that?
Really?
Please no.
I'm trying to think of who I heard talking about that, but I heard someone talking about that.
I was talking about WATP. Yeah, he was plugging it on his podcast.
It was you. Okay. And then I heard, who are these podcasts? It was Paulie Shore phoning in another show. I mean, it really is a phoned-in podcast, isn't it, Carl?
Oh, yeah. He's not prepared at all. He corners Gallagher at a comedy show in Vegas. They just happen to be playing in probably the same venue. So he corners him and just starts talking at him.
And isn't it clear that, I mean, I can just feel this, where he's going, oh, I can knock out a podcast. Just talk to Gallagher for 25 minutes and get that, you know, that crap out of the way.
Does Gallagher know?
Yeah, I assume he does. I mean, it's an interview, so to speak.
Is it Leo?
Yeah, Leo or Ron Gallagher.
Wait, no,
Gallagher does not seem to be a willing participant.
No, he really interview. He wasn't very happy. But Paulie's paying no fucking attention. I mean, he does an introductory part, doesn't he, into the podcast?
Yeah, and he does. In track 22, this is where he talks about the fact that he just corners the guy.
Okay,
Gallagher was playing the Laugh Factory in Vegas at the 7 o'clock show, and I was at the 10:30 show. So I pretty much cornered him in the green room, and I sat down with him with my device.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. Could you imagine? Imagine if we cornered Paulie before a show with your device.
Yeah,
we'd be pissed.
I'm not sure that would pan out, but the point I was going to make was that after hearing this and hearing his introduction, which was much longer than that, he says stuff in the introduction that he doesn't even remember when he's interviewing him.
Yeah, like, he goes, I think he had like 5 or 10 Showtime specials. And then in the interview, Gallagher goes, I had 14 Showtime specials. You just interviewed him. How do you not know that?
But it's just,
he doesn't listen.
He's so out to lunch that I just thought, why do we have him on our show all the time? What am I doing? I mean, it was just
a great example of his poor listening skills.
Okay, please.
Track 23, he asks a question, Gallagher answers it, and he's still confused.
So you were born in Florida.
When my dad got back from World War II, he was 20 years old, okay. 1946. And so I was born in the Army Hospital in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Right. So, but where were you born? In Florida?
I was born at that Army Hospital.
But where were you born, though? When are you going to answer the question, Gallagher?
I know. It's like he's trying to tell him he's wrong.
Right.
You're born in Florida.
Well, he does that thing, and maybe this is the key to tip off that he's not listening, where he goes, yeah. Uh-huh. Like, listen, you'll hear him do that a couple times.
So you were born in Florida.
When my dad got back from World War II, he was 20 years old, 1946. Okay. And so I was born in the Army Hospital in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Right. So, were were you born? In Florida?
No, I was born.
You just said it.
You're pretty dumb sometimes.
Oh, man. That's so bad. I mean, that's one of those things that you just go, oh, my God, I can clean that up afterwards.
I'm embarrassed for him.
It's so embarrassing.
Oh, please. This is, I think, my favorite Who Are These Podcasts. Just if you haven't been introduced to the show, and a lot of our listeners have listened to Who Are These Podcasts. There's a whole bunch of reviews from Detroit people. So
good.
That's great for Carl. this is one of my favorites. What's next?
I do love the Drew and Mike listeners who support the show. I really appreciate it. Soft Weekly, I'm talking to you, buddy. track 28, here is another example of him asking a question and just not listening to the answer at all.
When did you come up with Smashing Fruit?
Oh, way before I met Jim Stafford, when I was 25.
So at 25, you sat in a diner one day and go, I'm going to smash fruit on
stage.
No,
I was sitting in front of the TV because my car had broken down at a friend's house after I had tried to sell my book, which I printed myself on newsprint and sold throughout
the... When you were 20 years old.
I was 25.
Okay.
How old are you? I was 25. You were 20.
Oh, no! So bad.
No, granted, Gallagher is boring as shit. Still, can you at least pay a little bit of attention to the details?
I'm not even paying attention.
I would think Gallagher would have really good stories to tell if you get him out of them. But
his answers, his answers are all over the place. You go, oh my God, he published a book. Who fucking cares? I mean, ask the question, please.
Is Pauly stupid? Is he just not?
I think this is so beyond phoned in. I really, truly believe that he just saw Gallagher and went, oh, I can knock a podcast out. I want to go into the studio, you know, in a couple days. I can take that day off and just knock this shit out right now. And who cares what it sounds like?
But he's not listening.
I know. He's not. Oh,
but worse than that, Mark, not only is he not listening, he doesn't even let the guest answer the question that he asks. In track 24, he asks the question, doesn't let him answer, and then asks another question.
So did a lot of this... this dispute between you and your sibling, did it cause a lot of stress to you, or you didn't really care during the time?
You know what?
Go back to that time. I mean, did you lose sleep over it?
It's about to answer.
Were you sad? Did you have a nice relationship with him before? Because obviously now you probably don't talk. When was the last time you talked to him?
Well, let him answer
the question.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, he had a narrative in his mind about falling out with him and his brother, or as him and his parents, or his family, whatever, that he thinks that that's what caused Gallagher's cancer. And Gallagher says, well, no, it was my poor health decisions. The doctors have been very clear about this. It was my diet that really caused this. And Pauly will not take that as an answer.
Carl, doesn't he keep going back to this, you know, well, that must have been a horrible holiday you realize your family. And he's like, I just told you, I don't want to be around my family over the holidays. I'm glad we don't spend any time together. He just can't accept that.
He's not even paying attention.
He just refuses to let Gallagher answer the question the way Gallagher wants to answer the question. And in track 25, he starts yelling over Gallagher, who's trying to answer his question.
So,
but I understand.
But, wait. You said you had a heart attack.
Let him answer the question.
I said cancer. I forgot. It was a heart attack that he had, which he's convinced that the heart attack must have come from this falling out he had with his family, which I don't know why that was the narrative that he went in there to interrupt this poor guy in the green room who's probably trying to warm up his mallet so he can smash some fruit on stage.
All right, one more Pauly Shore if you got one.
I love this one because Pauly can't do simple math, and you can tell Gallagher is so annoyed with him on track 29. I just call it Pauly is dumb.
About 3 million?
About 3 million a year.
I would
so
do
3 times 10 is what?
30.
So you made like about 30 million in the
80s? In the 80s.
Oh my God! He is dumb. He's just dumb.
I did like that he asked that question because it's always fascinating to find out what people make and why Pauly thinks Gallagher should tell him that. I have no idea. And then he tells him, which surprised me a little bit. But yeah, that was great. All right, let's save Alec Baldwin for next time because Carl, we just don't know how to time out this bit properly. But
no worries,
we'll get it one of these days. Anyway, what's on Who Are These Podcasts this weekend?
That's a great question. What are we doing this weekend? I've already forgotten. No, you know what we're doing is True Crime Obsessed, which is the highest earning podcast on Patreon.
Really?
They have like 37,000 patrons that subscribe to their show. And what they do is they watch true crime documentaries and then explain them to you.
That's all?
That's what we do.
That's all they do? I do them for nothing.
I'm telling you, just put the word true crime in the name of your podcast. You'll make $100,000 in the first month.
No, you're right.
Speaking of Patreon, plug yourself, Carl, where people can find everything.
Yeah, thank you. Go to whoarethese.com. It's our website. And from there, you can find links to our Patreon and our Reddit and our Discord server and all the different places where you can communicate with the show and also participate with the show.
Beautiful.
All right, Carl. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, guys.
As always.
See ya.
Always love talking to you.
Okay, love talking to you, man.
His given name is Carl, and he likes to be called Fartface.
Oh, man, that Pauly Shore episode is just, it's two people that don't want to be there. And one is paying no attention to the other.
Do you remember his video podcast that he would do, which was just him in his house whenever a moment hit him in the head, he would just walk over and say something?
I don't think I ever saw that one.
We watched some of it on the show. He was just pretty much sitting in his living room during...
Yes, I do. Yeah. I remember now. But there was really not much inspiration there.
I'm intrigued by this new movie he's doing. Is it going to be like Pauly Shore's Dead, or is it going to be... Biodome.
I think it's in the Biodome realm.
I'll watch it.
It's time to do another Biodome movie, though, since we all need to get in one.
You know, actually, it seems like Biodome, maybe Biodome, his time has come. That movie's, it's kind of funny.
Biodome's funny. Right.
I didn't mind Biodome.
Encino Man's funny.
What's the matter, Brandon?
Son-in-law's fantastic.
You want to know what his new movie is?
What?
No.
Unless he's got one that's coming down the chain that isn't on IMDb or Wikipedia, his new movie is called The Midnight Gospel. And it's an adult animated web television series created by the same guy who did Adventure Time. And it's on Netflix right now. The Midnight Gospel. It's a cartoon.
It's not a movie.
I don't know that that's what it is. Well, anyway, whatever. We're talking about Pauly Shore. Why are we talking about Pauly Shore?
Glad he's happy.
Okay. Brandon, you sent something yesterday, and did we get around to talking about Bella Thorne yesterday?
No.
She did not.
She has an OnlyFans thing.
By the way, Pauly Shore's new movie is called Guest House, which sounds even worse.
Oh,
he's a Cato Kalin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that might be kind of
fun. I might watch. If I'm in the right mood, I might watch.
Sorry. Go ahead. Bella Thorne.
She started a fans only, or OnlyFans? OnlyFans, is it?
OnlyFans.
Yeah, which is a place you go, and I think she charges $16 for a month, or you can pay $51 for 3 months, or $102 for 6 months. Right. And in 1 week, I guess she made well over $1 million on this thing. And
She actually made $1 million in her first 24 hours. And in the first week, she's made $2 million so far in 1 week.
That's incredible.
Okay, what did she shove inside herself?
Nothing.
I don't know. Wow.
No, my understanding is nothing. Is that there was no sex. There were a lot of, you know, good morning, everybody, and, you know, and little personal messages and things like that. And she said she was getting to know her fans on a personal level, which is like, get out of here.
So then no repeat customers, basically.
Well, maybe not. I really didn't get the impression there was anything pornographic about it.
So I just typed into
it. I mean, there was some scantily clad stuff. I mean, plenty of that, but I mean, really?
Here's a clip from her OnlyFans that someone decided to put up on Pornhub.
Is she nude?
Oh.
We'll see here.
Do I need to come over there and look?
We'll
no?
see. Well, let me skip the ad as if anybody wants to buy something called Semen-X.
Pornhub.
She's topless. But she's got her hands over her boobs.
Wiener.
And that's it. That's it. You can't even see anything. You can't even see anything. Man. There's another one, too.
And I guess other people on OnlyFans, you know, some of the ones that are a little bit more provocative that do put things in certain places, I think they're upset because here this girl comes along. Yeah. She doesn't do what OnlyFans is doing, yet she's making the most money out of everybody during COVID.
I thought that was very funny that people complain that, well, this big famous person came in and sucked all the money out, and she doesn't even put out.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is OnlyFans then?
You should get one, Trudy. It's
Get an OnlyFans, Trudy.
No, I believe it's similar to, it's basically you have your own profile where as long as you have subscribers,
it's like
paying,
a video sex service.
Yes, they get to see.
Pretty much.
In a sense, yeah, they get to see you do your nudes.
Here she
you're
is
banging.
Here she is allegedly masturbating on OnlyFans. I mean, she's fully clothed there. Yeah. Well, here she is in the car, just rubbering it vigorously.
Oh, she's nude there.
I really need a brother.
Fake. Fake.
Is that her?
Allegedly. But you can't see. I want my money back.
She did show her.
Should we call OnlyFans and demand our money back, even though we didn't pay any?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
I'll look them up.
That was more than I expected.
Really?
So, are you scanning through some more, Mark?
Well, I don't know.
Why would Bella Thorne do masturbate on OnlyFans. Well, she made a couple million dollars. I guess that makes. Yeah. I guess that's the reason.
I mean, who wouldn't?
But she's a film star.
Well,
I mean, couldn't she do porn and make a lot more?
She's really didn't she direct a porn that she was also in?
I think so. I don't think she did any of the actual porn, but I think she. You're right. Directed the love making.
You know, it's so funny how the traditional career has just exploded. There's no such thing as traditional career anymore, is there?
No. I mean, it's basically you have to be it's everything. It's your life, and you're the character now.
Yeah,
just like Paris Hilton, she developed a character.
I have no skills.
Develop a character. Now I have to live as a character.
It's funny that you should ask that, Drew, because I was just thinking today about I used to think that I wasn't smart enough to be a journalist, and now I think I'm not dumb enough to be one. So
I have to say, I'm totally stunned at some of the influencers and what they don't know. And I mentioned this last week. I mean, to just make this a complete pick on Chelsea Handler, because she's very successful. But that thing about Malcolm X and quoting him on Twitter and thinking she was sending out this really sweet message and then being just completely taken aback when people said, Malcolm X, are you kidding me? And then eventually she apologized. Well, I did my homework. And I'm like, Chelsea Handler didn't know? I mean, I'm like, what kind of basic education do some of these people have? I think if somebody has a platform and they're speaking that freely to that many people, that they must have some basic knowledge. But you would be wrong for assuming that. And we find that out with a lot of people.
Well, you would think with social media and the way everybody wants to attack you, you might want to know everything about the person you're quoting.
Absolutely. No, and if not, it's easy to research it. Yeah. But, you know, when I talk about careers that just really have no precedent, you know, what she's doing, she is on fairly major motion pictures.
Yeah,
right?
A couple.
I mean, OnlyFans to me is for people like Aaron Carter, who have run out of every last way to suck money out of fans who really aren't even fans anymore. And so
he looks like he's on AIDS.
You mean like Farrah?
Farrah.
Right.
Remember Farrah?
That's what I thought of.
Remember Farrah did OnlyFans and everyone's livid because she didn't even get nude?
Well, yeah, they should be mad. Cardi B is one who, you know, she's farting on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, she does things that absolutely would, somebody who has number one records is doing it. And I think people really just love her. They have this general good feeling about her. And it's not even her music that much. I mean, her music fits her.
Guess what, guys? I got to take a fart.
But no, it's her personality.
Her music is really kind of, but I don't think it matters that much. And, you know, I saw Elton John. Did I see Elton John talking about music today?
No.
He just was talking about how he was looking at the Spotify Top 50, and he said, there just aren't any real songs on there. And he mentioned a couple that he really liked. He said, they're written by one songwriter, and there's a theme, and the songwriting is very, you know, structured very well. And then he said, so many other ones, and I know what he's talking about. There's four or five or six writers, four or five different people putting bits into a song, and it's just a bunch of bits that are just kind of crammed together, and, you know, there's some sort of a theme that's, I guess, or they intend some sort of theme, but I know what he's talking about, because I do hear very popular songs, and I go, but there's really no music on that song. You know, it's you know, some people use the same beat, it seems like, over and over and over, and they just change the words. And
okay,
like,
boomer.
Well, show me. Okay, Elton John, I figured he would get okay boomered like nobody's business for this. I don't know that he did, but I just agreed with him because I don't hear the musicality in a lot of his music. I just hear, I don't know.
Well, here's the Spotify U.S. Top 50. The number one is WAP, which we all know.
There's
that.
Not a lot of music in WAP. She said something pretty funny the other day, though. Did you see? She said someone made a comment that I wish more women could be, this is on Twitter while Melania Trump was speaking, I wish more women could be like Melania Trump than Cardi B. And Cardi B came back and said, wait, didn't Melania Trump used to sell WAP?
Wet ass
Very
keyword.
Funny.
I thought it was funny as hell.
P word is female genitalia.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the song, but I will say for hip hop, the musicality a lot of times is in the rapping.
But that's not. I'm talking about instruments and what we normally expect from music.
Bring a bucket and a mop.
Here's number two is a Drake song. He's just the worst. Sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now. Every one of his songs sounds the same.
He's trying to do Kanye. Slow down,
baby. Number three is Mood. I don't even know. I can't even tell you who that's by. Rockstar by DaBaby. Dynamite by BTS. There you go. There's some musicality for you, Drew. You know BTS, right?
Yeah, I don't really know their music terribly well.
Isn't this the song
they're
that
entertaining? I mean, I understand why they're popular.
You like watching them dance?
No, I don't. But I understand why they're popular.
They're a boy band. Yeah. Didn't this break a record for the most views, like in the first 24 hours on YouTube?
I think they did. Yeah, they did something incredible.
Let's see.
We'll never be topped.
For the night, something by Juice WRLD.
Disingenuous.
What's Poppin' by Jack Harlow? A lot of musicality in that.
Yeah.
Who's stopping everybody? Welcome my celly. I had to go tell all my bitches email it to reach me. All in my DM, I'll follow your BM. She played with
like
the close.
A million songs that sound like that.
I hear a ba-boom every once in a while. And that's about it.
Then you got more Juice WRLD, Pop Smoke, something called Conan Gray. Harry Styles. There's probably some musicality there for you.
You know, I heard a lot about his last album, how wonderful it was. And he has a cover of Sledgehammer on there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good. It's really good. But I swear, doesn't it just sound like sort of the original version?
Yeah.
But with Harry Styles
singing?
Make
it his own. Yeah.
I guess I didn't hear the part where he made it his own. but
no,
it's Harry Styles, so
it
doesn't matter. If you take a great song and you do it well enough, and you're the hot guy that's 25 that all the chicks, then you're going to sell a lot of records.
He doesn't have to be that good. You know, they recorded their album at Peter Gabriel's studio. And so the way he explained it is when they got to the studio, all they wanted to do was play Sledgehammer. And when they talked to the engineers said, yeah, everybody does it anyway. So go ahead. And so they played it. Actually, his band is pretty decent. He's got this chick drummer that's incredible.
Like Meg White?
No, he said incredible.
Yeah, I said. She's got more than a snare and a bass.
It must be amazing to go to Peter Gabriel's studio, by the way, you know, judging by his concerts.
He is one cool cat, I got to say. I have always loved Peter Gabriel. There's a lot of entertainment news today, and one of the stories that has been around for a while, and it really is in my craw, it's this new song by Phoebe Bridges called Moonsong. Has anybody heard it? I don't want to hear it, but I'm just asking. Okay, anyway, it has a line in it that says, we hate tears in heaven, but it's sad his baby died. And it's kind of sort of mocking, sarcastic, and referring to Conor Clapton, and not Conor Clapton. It's C-O-N-O-R. It's Conor.
Rhymes with boner. Mm-hmm.
And she's asked about it, and she said, the lyric used to be, we hate Eric Clapton, and we made it a little worse because it's the dead baby song. And then she says, but it's okay because Eric Clapton's music is extremely mediocre, but also because he's a famous racist. So in other words, she's saying that it's okay to make fun of his dead baby because he's a famous racist. And I thought,
wait, why?
Why is he a famous racist?
Yeah, what makes him a racist?
Pretty bad things,
Eric Clapton used to be a heavy, 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 heavy drinker. Not to mention other substances. I mean, he was an absolute mess. In 1976, he had a famous rant at a concert, and I mean, it's 44 years ago. I know he apologized for it and all that, and some people may not like his apology or accept his apology, but I wouldn't call him a famous racist, first of all. Do you think of Eric Clapton as a famous racist?
No, I never knew about that story. I guess I got
I don't think a lot of people know about it, honestly, because social media wasn't around, and so things happened at various places. People fucked up in various ways, and nobody, you know, some people knew, but not everybody. But anyway, this girl thinks because she knows about this racist event that's her sort of like, that trumps her making fun of his dead baby. See, if she just said, you know, that I don't like his dead baby song or something like that, and just thought it was a good line and stood by it, I would say, well, you know, okay. But to say that, in other words, it's okay because he's a famous racist, I thought that's just, what is that? That's fucked up.
Did she call him Ku Klux Clapton?
No, she didn't. Did someone call him that?
I saw it online.
I've never heard that. About
That's a great name.
They spelled it with a K, too. Ku Klux Klan.
You know, the funny thing was, I'm reading this story, and most of the response, of course, is just livid about this fucking bitch, Eric Clapton, mediocre. Who the fuck is she? And I don't even know who she is. I guess she's popular. But Eric Clapton is a little better than mediocre, I think. I think he's a little... Like in the, isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
He's a great guitarist.
Twice at least.
Sure. Yeah.
And
he's a great guitarist. He's really good. That song did suck, though. I will say that.
And the fact that he stole George Harrison's girl and then wrote a song about it.
Ruled.
Layla's a great song. I was not a fan of the song about Conor Clapton, but it was a huge hit. I mean, it was a bigger hit than she'll probably ever have. And in fact, you know, he's had a lot of hits. And some of them are okay, and some of them aren't okay. I mean, I Shot the Sheriff was, although that's a Bob Marley cover. But that was number one when I was a kid. It was a big hit. After Midnight, I mean, you could go down the list. He has a ton of songs that a lot of people know. All the Derek and the Dominoes stuff, the Blind Faith. He was in the Yardbirds. I mean, he's an amazing. Wait, he was in the Yardbirds, right? Clapton?
Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton together?
Well, Jeff Beck was... Hold on. I'm losing my mind. Hang on.
I'm temporarily losing
my mind.
It's all right. Yeah. By the way.
Why do I want to put him in the Yardbirds? He wasn't the Yardbirds, wasn't he?
While you're looking, it was Eric Clapton's band who was with Stevie Ray Vaughan on this day that will live in infamy. Never forget when the helicopter crashed and killed SRV.
He was, Drew.
Okay, I thought so. Jesus. Yeah, Trudy, that was 30 years ago today.
30.
Wow. And, you know, Jimmy Vaughn, his brother, was supposed to be on that show. It was nice. Jimmy Vaughn was supposed to be in the chopper with his wife, and at the last minute they said, oh, we've only got a seat for Stevie Ray. So Jimmy Vaughn, who's also a great guitar player, lived. And that show, the thing about that was, I remember after there was a two-night stand at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin, and it was like, I think, 40,000 tickets, sold out both nights, 80,000 seats. And after the first show, I just remember there was a review that, you know, it was just the most incredible show. Because
flew in on a helicopter.
Because it was Clapton, Stevie Ray, who really was starting to really bust wide open. Jimmy, his brother, Buddy Guy was there. Robert Cray was there. And they jammed at the end of both shows. And it was like, whoa! You know, what an absolute fabulous show. And what happens? He crashes in the chopper, dies.
Get to the chopper!
And this was, you know, 3 years after he got sober. And he was on his game.
He was a really philosophical person, too. He's cool. And then he had, like, you know, he wasn't like a total asshole rocker.
No, he was a great, people loved him. Yeah. He was an excellent
shiny
guy.
Shiny and sparkly.
Amazing.
And splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
You got to remember, though, it's Stevie Ray Vaughan's death anniversary, not Steamy Ray Vaughan. All right.
I got a fever, but it's under control. I said I got a fever, need to take it kind of slow. I got a fever, but it's under control.
What, too soon?
There's a very big rock and roll death today. It's not very big. Why am I saying it's very big?
I don't even know who it is.
It's not very big, but it's a big story in a lot of weird ways. But stand by.
What story?
First, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInIndy.com are at it again, selling cars like candy bars, piling them high, letting them fly, stacking them deep, selling them cheap. Because emptying the lot while the weather's still hot is why the summer turns
events up. You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
That's Gabara. That's actual head of Gabara. When he came over the copy, he was just riffing. Anyway, let's kill the rhymes because it's deal time. Lease a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Get a 2020 Loader Jeep Compass lease at just $155 a month or a 2020 Jeep Cherokee Grand. Wait, a a Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk, four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. Then, of course, the Jeep Wrangler. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has the largest inventory in the state with Wranglers, which sadly isn't that large at the moment, but the good news is there's no better time to go to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Go to dealsandindy.com, check it out, and congratulate Luke Nowacki on no longer having COVID. He has been through the coronavirus. You might want to call Luke and tell him you want his antibodies, just in case you get coronavirus. And
yeah.
Just a thought. I mean, just something
maybe
nice.
Maybe he can give them to new clients.
I know, he should have some kind of a contest. Biggest investor next month gets my antibodies. Luke is offering advice, of course, at Pinnacle Wealth Strategy. He's more than antibodies. He's got great financial advice for you at a time when a lot of people could use it. And I saw today there was some talk about a gold bubble. I guess a lot of people have been buying gold, and some people are hoarding cash. And, you know, there's always talk. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. Maybe to what is the strategy to get through this election, this pandemic, and what will be the strategy in 6 months? Will it be different? Are you looking for a long-term strategy? What's your strategy in 6 years? What about stocks? What about bonds? What about your 401k? Is it in the right investments? Are you going to lose your ass over this election because you're in some crazy 401k stuff? What's your college savings plan? Is your company in the right investments? So many questions, so many answers. Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. You got the closer for that?
Oh, I can get it. Yesterday, the S&P and the NASDAQ broke their records. And today, the Dow, for a quick moment, erased all their losses this year.
What? Oh, my God. Yeah. Really?
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Get to the chopper!
Give me the gold. I want the gold.
There was a lot of economic news today, and we could just quickly kick it around. But first, I got to get to that important celebrity death. Kathy Smith is dead at the age of 73.
Kathy Smith.
Who is Kathy Smith? She injected John Belushi with the speedball that killed him.
Speedball Kathy.
That's right. And she also, it's funny, Trudy, you remember when she killed John Belushi? What did we know about Kathy Smith? We knew very little about her, but everyone knew one thing, and it was included in every story.
I don't know. What was
she? She was someone's girlfriend.
Oh,
if you could read my mind, love, what a tale my heart would
Lightfoot's?
Tell. Yes, no. She was Gordon Lightfoot's girlfriend.
Oh, no wonder she was doing a speedball with John Belushi.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
Kathy Highway.
Sundown, she alleges that she was the muse for the song Sundown.
I refuse to believe that.
That it was about their tumultuous, extramarital, and occasionally violent relationship.
Oh, that's nice to have that song written after you then.
It must have been awkward then when she was in the news.
Oh, I'm sure it was. For Gordon. Plus, she was in prison for 15 months.
Gordon.
Gordon. She also supposedly sang backup for people, like the band. But it sounded like she really dealt drugs to bands more than sang backup.
Like
maybe
sound like
they
a groupie.
Said, what's Kathy doing here? Oh, she's singing backup. And then she would leave a lot of great drugs. Because she allegedly dealt to Keith Richards and Ron Wood and the Stones. And she dealt to the band. And I guess, you know, she was injecting Belushi, so she probably dealt to him too. But she provided the hot shot that took him down. And this Gordon Lightfoot story...
Did you know she had a baby, and it was called the Band Baby, because they didn't know which member of the band impregnated her?
Oh, that is so cool!
Ah, gross! She needs Semenex.
But, Trudy, you remember when Belushi died? Do you remember seeing Kathy Smith?
Yeah, I just sort of remotely think of her as some, like, curly black hair or something.
Exactly. Now, did you, like me, I thought, well, you didn't know she was Gordon Lightfoot's girlfriend, but I remember thinking, how can she be Gordon Lightfoot's girlfriend? He's got hit records, and she's not even hot.
Oh, so Gordon could have done better, is what you're saying?
I thought so. But now I kind of wonder if she could have done better.
She looked lovely in her late days. Look at her. There she is.
It's pronounced Gordon.
She
let herself go.
She's 73. Most 73-year-olds do let themselves go.
Bad-looking 73-year-old. Just saying.
The other thing was, I just saw this documentary on Gordon Lightfoot, which is really weird. Okay, I see a Gordon Lightfoot documentary. I guess I have to watch it.
I'd watch that.
Fascinating. Well, I mean, we've been obsessed with the Evan Fitzgerald, and I mean, it's just been a lot of Gordon Lightfoot mentions over the year for whatever reason. So I'm watching this thing, and you know, he's Canadian. That's one thing that was always Gordon Lightfoot Canadian. And anytime somebody's having like a Canada weekend, you'd always hear a lot of Gordon Lightfoot. And I thought the footage for the documentary was very lightweight. Like, there was this one thing, this clip they had of him, and they were trying to emphasize that, you know, Gordon had a drinking problem. And he was on this show, and it was a Canadian show. And the desk, like, the host was sitting behind, looked like an old grade school desk or something. What show is this? Is this public access? What is this? How could this make the documentary? It makes him look
Canadian,
like...
Canadian, though.
It made him look like he never had a hit record. Well, yeah, he's Canadian, so I guess maybe in Canada they don't care about sets.
That's the exchange rate.
Their production value was a little, you know, retro.
It was, I don't know. I think this the doc was obviously meant to build him up, and I just didn't feel like it did the job. And I like his hit songs. I think they're great.
Is Lightfoot alive?
Yes, he is alive. I believe
he's
still
touring. He's still touring.
Yeah, he's 80, I think. Is he 80?
He's good looking 80.
I suppose.
Who would buy 81. A ticket to that?
And do you know what the documentary got on the thermometer?
I guess it got a... boy.
There is no audience. It's just critics right now.
I'll say 61.
88.
Wow.
What the hell?
No, it wasn't that good. I'm telling you, it's not an 88.
Was it called If You Could Read My Mind?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the demographic for that documentary?
Listen to the lineup of people who were interviewed for this documentary. Randy Bachman.
He's in it for a very, very short time.
Anne Murray.
Yeah, she was in a lot.
Sarah McLachlan.
I don't even remember seeing her.
Tom Cochran. Life is a Highway.
Who are they?
He's got one song.
Burton Cummings.
Okay, they got the Guess Who. They got two Guess Who guys.
And Alec Baldwin.
What?
Did he ever say, why am I in this documentary? I don't even know who I'm talking about.
He's in a lot of documentaries.
He's too available for only for documentaries.
He, by the way, Carl today was going to have some clips from Baldwin, which he had, and he's going to save them. So anyway, before the show, he's like, you know, you've listened to the Baldwin podcast? And I said, yeah. And he goes, any episodes you recommend? And I was like, no. So I thought I would look into it and see, God, do I remember what I listened to or any good? And I saw, I got a Woody Allen on. So I started listening to it.
Oh, no.
And first of all, it was like watching the Michael Jackson This Is It, where I forgot that Woody Allen was like this real artist who made movies that I've seen you know, has a lot to say and was kind of interesting, even though, the creep thing is never absent with me. And then...
Woody Allen. Oh, that guy is 85 pounds of pure sex.
Gross. Then I moved on to Alec Baldwin's podcast with Brian De Palma.
Oh.
And Brian De Palma, wow. And Brian De Palma is a great guest. I mean, really good guest. And it dawned on me as I got to the Daryl Hall podcast of Alec Baldwin.
Oh, this fucker, you're so bored.
I know, this fucker gets, but he gets the best fucking guests. I mean, honestly, they were all great guests.
He's Alec Baldwin, man.
I know. It just annoyed me. But
is he a good interviewer, at least, or no?
He's so pretentious. It's hard not to hate him every time he opens his mouth. But the questions and the guests are good enough that it all kind of works. Daryl Hall was really good.
Because I would think he would actually be interested in what Woody
he was.
Allen
no, did. He is. He is. Absolutely. When it's film, he's almost too interested. But, you know, he considers himself a music aficionado, too.
Oh, God, what a dick.
So, you know what else, the Kathy Smith story, before we leave that? I forgot this part of the story, was that when Belushi died, the night he died, and Trudy, that night was so discussed because, you know, all these people had stopped by and partied with him for a while and left. And among the people that stopped by were, in my opinion, the strangest combination of friends. I would have never guessed that Robert De Niro and Robin Williams were friends, but they were hanging out, and they came by and did blow with Belushi.
We all know what they have in common.
Probably
they were in a movie together.
Well, cocaine.
What movie were they in?
Cocaine.
Oh, they were in Awakenings.
Yeah,
that was later. That was later.
It's the best thing either one of them has.
I mean, do you see De Niro and Robin Williams hanging out, though? Doesn't it seem like a strange
annoying.
Combo?
Wouldn't that be annoying?
Oh, definitely, because Robin Williams is there.
I don't see De Niro getting a word in.
Probably not. You might
not
care.
He's not good off script.
But the other funny thing about De Niro and Robin Williams, because as I was reading the Kathy Smith story, I was going, De Niro, big coke head? I can't. And then I remembered that in Lenny Dykstra's book, he says he was on vacation in some exotic place. And who was, you know, like two cabanas away but Robert De Niro? And they end up, you know, having a drink or something. And Lenny's like, hey, man, you want a bump? And the next thing you know, he said De Niro was just hoovering his stash. Just wildly hoovering his stash. And fortunately,
there's De Niro.
Fortunately, Lenny had a huge stash, so it all worked out. But then he went to De Niro's restaurant. This is like 5 years later, and he says, hey, is Bob here? And they said, yeah, but he's in a private room or something. He says, tell him Lenny Dykstra's here. And he's like, he doesn't know who you are. Yeah, like, he didn't even know who you are. Fuck you.
Fuck him.
Lenny, of course, like, I did blow with him in St. Bart's.
On my stash.
Fuck him.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
There was more on the Steve Bing story today. You know, the super uber wealthy, you know, he inherited $600 million. Otherwise, we would not know him.
Who's still following the Steve Bing story?
Well, there's kind of an interesting element to it. He was, of course, he knocked up.
He died like a dog.
What's the super hot chick he knocked up?
Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley. And fought paternity viciously. It's not my kid. It's not my kid. It's not my kid. She slept with other guys. No. And she was all along said, nope, it's his and only his and only his. And finally got him in court, got the DNA. Yep, his kid. And then she said, I don't want a cent. I have money. I just wanted the court to say it was your kid. So fuck you. Mm-hmm. And he disappeared.
Oh, I like her.
And he never gave her a dime. Now, he befriended her in the last year of his life again. Supposedly, they were talking, and I guess he may have spoken to his son for the first time in his life.
Beautiful, beautiful child.
Yeah, looks just like a son who
very
looks
pretty.
Just like Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So then he has the other child with Lisa Bonder, the tennis player, who was married to Kirk Kerkorian, and she said it was Kirk Kerkorian's child, and Kirk Kerkorian hired a private detective to follow Stephen Bing around because Stephen Bing was her last boyfriend, and he said, I didn't get her pregnant. And they got...
He was so old, it was dust.
Yeah, he was 80-something, which I thought was weird, because Lisa Bonder's pretty. Anyway, and young. They find dental floss of Steve Bing's in his garbage, and they do a DNA test, and it's his kid. Again! And he, you know, was like, fuck you, not my kid, I don't want anything to do with it. And, it is my kid? And he's like, whatever. Never knew either of the kids until the very end of his life. And I'm not even sure if that's true. But his will left nothing for those two kids. So he not only blew them off their entire lives, he left nothing for them.
That's my dad.
And the even stranger thing is, his will had $337,000.
Whoa. That's it.
He was given $600 million. And so everybody's like, where's his money? And apparently, this doesn't include property, but property,
it's gone. I mean, just don't worry about it. It's gone.
He has a place that he jumped out the 28th floor of.
Yeah.
It's that place. It was on the 28th floor. It's got to be worth something. but they didn't think he had any $500 million in property or anything like that. I mean, how do you. To have $600 million and to blow it is almost incredible because. I mean, you almost have to make tons of money. You could spend $100 million a year and still have money left over after 20 or 30 years.
Is that why he killed himself? Because he had no money?
I don't know. I thought it was very interesting, though. But they did say that he...
I know that's not the only reason, but was that the final...
No. Okay, here's what they say. They say that he killed himself on the... This is always a word when they say this. On the almost one-year anniversary of the death of his girlfriend, who was 28 years old. Her name was Alexanne Mitchum, and she and Steve Bing were going to get married, and he wanted to have kids, which is like, hardy har har, you want to have kids now? He was 54 or something, and he said he wanted to have kids so she wouldn't be alone because he was so much older. I mean, whatever, he's so thoughtful. But they had a big fight. She left. He claims they made up on the phone, and then she took a Xanax. And it turned out it wasn't a Xanax, and it had fentanyl in it, and she died.
Boy.
So he felt so bad about that because he's such a thoughtful guy, you know.
Yeah.
That's why he threw himself out the 28th story. I don't know if I'm buying that.
What if somebody else threw him out the 20? Like,
I know, it seems like a lot of people would.
His two children, he never gave anything to.
He did. You know what's really disgusting about this whole thing was that they acknowledged that he left a trust, which was a significant amount of money, to the Clinton Foundation.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and Bill Clinton was like, I love Steve Ving. He's a wonderful guy. He cared about so many things, and he had so many causes that were close to his heart. I just love Steve Ving.
We had a lot in common. Baby.
I know he left something for the Clinton Foundation. I probably should give it to the kids, but I know that would be against his wishes, so we're going to keep it.
We had a lot of women in common. I like the ladies, and so did I.
Oh, my God.
Steve Ving will always be remembered as plowing inside Elizabeth Hurley.
He had his wiener inside Elizabeth Hurley. Well, I mean, what more do you need to say?
I mean, what a great guy.
Anybody see Brad Pitt's new girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah. She's pretty hot. Oh.
27 years old. I think she has a long face.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, she has a long face.
I think
face.
She kind of looks like Angelina.
Really?
Oh, but a younger version?
She's 27.
Yeah.
Really long face. She's 5'10". They're on vacation in the south of France.
Nice.
And her name's Nicole Petrowski.
Yeah.
And I guess she posts a lot of model-esque pictures on her Instagram. I don't know what that means.
She kind of looks a little bit like Giselle. Like the face, don't you think? No?
A little bit, yeah. Wait.
Oh, she's hot, man.
Who is...
what are you talking about?
A long face, I'm telling you. If I saw her, I'd say, what's a long face for?
Oh, she does have a long face.
A really
you guys
long
are
face.
Insane.
Seriously, it could be possibly the longest face ever.
Should we do a Twitter poll? Is this a long face? And I'll just put a picture of her face.
Go ahead. I'm telling you, it's long. It
Which
goes
picture are you
on
using?
And
you
on and on.
You have to use the picture.
Okay, do you see the pictures on page 6 where they have Meet Nicole or no?
Oh, I'm looking at Us Weekly.
Okay. Well, does she have a Wikipedia page? That's usually a good generic picture.
Well, the pictures I saw today were of her with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, click on that, Brandon.
Looking
all
hot.
I was going to use number 5 on there. Can we use number 5 on there? Scroll down.
That's the picture right there. That's the one I saw.
I was going to use number 5, though. Look at number 5.
Yeah,
use the long face.
The purple shirt.
There's that one.
Oh, my God. Look at how long that face
is. Oh, my God.
That's not a long face.
It would take an hour to get from her chin to her hairline.
Brandon, back me up here. No,
I think she's gorgeous. No, I think she's gorgeous.
Man. Really, you like long faces.
You don't see
too.
A long face, Brandon? That face is long. I think there was a vice grip put
at her
in her
face?
Ears at
okay,
some
look
point.
At
I'll give you this: when she has her hair done up, you know, when she's got a ponytail going, I think that maybe
put that
the
one,
relation of her
face.
Five head, yeah, maybe. But look
yeah,
at this picture
one.
Here with
just
her hair.
Does she
down.
Have a long face? All right, that's all I want. I'm not saying she's ugly or anything. I'm just saying she has a long face.
Yeah, but you're saying it like it's a negative. I mean, that's a pretty.
You like the horse? That's a long face. I mean,
you have to think when you're going to be with somebody. How are you? If you're going to be able to stand something like that?
Yeah, I mean that's something you got to live with for a long time. You got to live with a long face for a long time.
Insane. I don't even believe
this. She's really pretty.
I think she's pretty too. I mean, she has a long face, but she's really pretty. R. Kelly attacked. By inmates. Yes.
Uh-huh.
R. Kelly was beaten up. And this, that was, I thought, well, that's interesting. And then little did I imagine that something would be more interesting in the story, which was that the inmates are angry at R. Kelly. And at first, right off the bat, I'm thinking, wait, they're angry at him. Why can't he get the inmates to call him daddy and answer all his commands like the girls? You know, he has, remember, he gets them to follow all his commands and they don't eat until he tells them and they don't go to the bathroom. And why can't he pull that off with the inmates? Why doesn't it work? And then the other thing was that they're angry because they're being put on lockdown because of R. Kelly protesters. And that's where I went, protesters? Wait. People are still upset that R. Kelly is in jail? Well, people actually show up to protest? Are you fucking kidding me?
So they're not protesting the fact that he did those things?
No. Well, they're protesting that he didn't do those things.
Yeah, I know.
And that he shouldn't be in jail.
That's ridiculous.
I know. It's crazy. And Rebel Wilson is sizzling in a type-wrapped dress. She is sizzling again. But she's not sizzling. I'm telling you, she is not sizzling. I think she looks better, but she's not sizzling. She's not even close to
sizzling. She's making a very, very good effort right now to work on her health.
Why isn't that enough? She's lost a lot of weight and she looks better. Why do you have to exaggerate?
Hey, I think she, you know what? If she keeps going at this pace, look at this. Look at this one right here. She looks pretty. She looks good.
Are you going to say
she's still
sizzling?
Enormous boobs?
She does have big boobs still.
Yeah, the boobs aren't going away.
Huh.
Look at the side by side right here, Drew. She lost at least
she
two
looks better.
Maybe
okay.
more.
Boy, she's got a long face too. Look at that. When she was fat, it wasn't that long, but now it's long. Isn't it? Take the bangs up. Pull the bangs up. That's a long face.
Give this girl another maybe 2 months, and I'm telling you, she is going to be sizzling.
No, she is not going to be sizzling. And in fact, I know no one will take me up on this bet. Who wants to bet me that she won't gain the weight back? Sorry. I didn't mean to be negative about it. I'm just saying. I think she will. It's just a hunch.
I think she's...
You know, she looks good in the picture on the left. I got to say, she looks much better in the picture on the left in the yellow.
This one here? She's
yeah, she looks good there. Ooh, I'm going to start... That is a long face, though. Boy, it wasn't as long when she was fat-headed. Hate to be that way, but it wasn't. But she
Are
still looks a lot better.
Are people getting their faces stretched, maybe?
Could be. She's not sizzling, but she does look better.
You really gave my little hole quite a stretch.
What if she got a breast lift or something? Because her boobs, dang, her boobs look pretty good.
Definitely.
Ooh, she's sizzling, Drew.
Have to. You would have to.
Sizzling.
I think she's mandatory.
Wow. I'm very proud of her, actually.
Oh, I'm proud of her, too.
Here's the big question is how does she, she's been typecast as the fat girl. Friend. Yeah. And this is going to lead to more roles for her. I think she'll be fine.
Sure. Yeah. She's still funny, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, if she's sizzling is she still funny as the sizzling girl? I mean, without the weight, is it still going to be funny?
I don't know. I might find her funnier. I don't know. Some of these pictures, I'm telling you, she looks great.
She looks a lot better. No doubt about it.
Like, I was down on the early headlines about her sizzling, but some of these most recent pictures, I'm impressed.
Hey, maybe you guys can help me settle something, though. So I got one of my magazines had a picture of Jason Momoa on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got his hair down, the usual kind of barbarian surfer look that he does. And I was sort of salivating over it. I had it in the studio at Wheels.
Yeah.
And the guys were like putting it away on the other side of the counter so they didn't have to see it.
Okay.
And I said something to someone about, God, he's so handsome. And he goes, he looks like a dirt ball.
He does look like he could use a shower.
Two separate people have said Jason Momoa looks like a dirt ball and that he might stink.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, totally. I could see him smelling.
I don't think he looks that dirty. He looks to me, I would think that would be part of his appeal, that he looks kind of disheveled, like he doesn't give a fuck.
Right, wild a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he looks a little ragged, a little wild. I don't know, I would think that'd be a bonus for him. I mean, whatever he's doing is working, clearly.
I'm kind of mad that we're doing our remote Zooms because he was in your neighborhood and I could have accidentally run into him if you'd still been having people.
Yeah, you just had to sniff him out.
Yeah, I wonder if he's stink. Still around. Trees
is walking out for now.
I love it.
He was in the neighborhood. He has friends in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
He was hanging.
Doesn't mean he doesn't smell.
No.
All right, your Twitter poll's up. We'll see what happens. By the way, the last Twitter poll, I don't think we ever gave results for that.
We did
one,
not.
Did we? Do you know what the results were, Brandon?
Such a close one. This was the poll. Is Ace Ventura played out? And I don't know the results, but I know that they were
52% said no.
Yes.
48% said yes. So it was very close.
Finally, on the right side of a Twitter poll.
But I would say it's awfully close to play it out because it ain't going the other way.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't think it's going the other way. Just saying.
Yeah. I agree. Totally.
That's just because it's getting older.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a great movie. It was definitely a great movie at its time. Jim Carrey's, he has a lot of great movies. I feel like there's some of his movies. In fact, somebody was talking about his 90s movies, which are Cable Guy. And what else did he do in the 90s that's well known?
The Mask.
was Ace Ventura? That was in the 90s.
Ace Ventura, yeah. Both Ace Venturas.
Okay, anyway, they were saying they were reviewing 90s movies, and a couple of the Jim Carrey movies they thought didn't come across as well, but they thought Cable Guy was funnier than they remembered it. And I've always thought Cable Guy was way underrated.
Huh. Yeah, me too.
I always liked Eternal Sunshine.
1994 alone, Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. Boom. Wow. That's three great films in 1 year. Then he follows it up with the Ace Ventura sequel, The Batman Forever, which probably gave him a lot of money, even though that movie sucked. Yeah. Cable Guy, Liar Liar, The Truman Show, Simon Birch, I didn't know this, Man on the Moon was in the 90s, too.
Great really. Movie.
Wow.
And he started off 2000 with Me, Myself, and Irene. So, I mean, he was hitting it. But, you know, I don't know so much in the last 10 years or so, to be honest with you.
What has he done movie-wise? Yeah, what has he done? I mean,
he was in Kick-Ass 2, Dumb and Dumber 2.
I did like the show on Showtime, Kidding, where he's like the Mr. Rogers type host. I thought that was a really good show.
I don't know. He was on Dax Shepard's podcast, and I thought he was really very, like, real. I liked him after listening to him on that.
His last movie was...
Was that a recent podcast, Trudy?
No, it was from a while ago, but he was really, he was good. He was human.
I wonder how Dax is doing. He was in a bad accident.
I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He just got to get surgery on
a bunch of bones and stuff.
Yeah, collarbone.
He's fine.
I'm sure he'll be okay. But I didn't know he had Jim Carrey on. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it was good. He's good.
Well, did we ever get to Max Kellerman's comment today?
No.
We didn't. Okay. Hold that thought for 1 second. I just got to go. I just want to get my coffee. Talk amongst yourselves, please.
Should Dr. Roche run today?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Tell us about Dr. Roche.
By the way, Drew is like 5 steps up the stairs, and Dr. Roche said he will send somebody to do a COVID test so that he can come in. So make sure you tell him that.
Oh, really? Okay. I'll let him know.
Yeah.
What else is Dr. Roche?
You know, he doesn't want to go there to...
I just passed mine.
Yeah, way to go.
Thanks. Appreciate
you
it.
You too. Like months ago. Dr. Roche has the secret weapon against blubber and age. The two things that fight hotness more than anything else. September's almost here. Time for sweaters. Sweater potatoes always look better if you've got them together and tight. And you don't want a dumpy look in your sweater at all. So call Dr. Roche's office and ask him about arranging for saline breast implants. They have a special for August. If you call right now, you can lock it in, or breast lifts. And I was at the office the other day, and I saw the before and after of breasts that are high and tighter as a result of one of the Evolve treatments, which I'm now a guinea pig of, trying to get a little bit of the fat layers off and get down to a little more toned look. Exercise won't take it away, and I've been trying. So Evolve tones, tightens, and trims, and he has 50% off now all their CBD products. And those CBD products can be a little pricey. So 50% off is not necessarily there. But these are medical grade, and they're really cool. I use the Isoderm, and so does Drew, and so did Mags, for a fact. And you can use them on animals as well. There's a whole line of animal CBD products. And I also use the Frost Roll-On for my shoulder, which is really good. And the deal with CBD is that you have to load up on them, you know, like keep doing them. There's no way you can overdose. And they help with pain relief. So give them a call. Check them all out at droche.com and procedures. And call for a teleconfrontation. I keep saying teleconfrontation, but it's a teleconsultation at 248-338-1110.
People have asked me, because I never told the dream I had with Mike Clark in it, which was it was so incredibly vivid. Like, I woke up going, oh my god, did that really happen? Of course it didn't, because I'm lying in my bed. But it was
the last time I had a really vivid dream. I said, wow, it really feels like I just got into a car accident. I swear to god, I thought it was a dream.
Yeah,
I thought it was a dream, and there's a kid sitting next to me, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then, hey, surprise, it's true. So this dream that you had,
maybe it really happened. Well, maybe. So I should have wrote down like what I really remember. But the two things that stood out in the dream, number one, I was walking down the street, which why am I walking down the street? And then Clark pulled up and opened the door and had me get in the car, which I don't know why he wanted to give me a ride.
Get in.
And I was really thrown. I remember in the dream going, but you passed away. You died. And he just started laughing, his Mike Clark laugh. And he went, it worked. And I was like, what do you mean it worked? He goes, I fooled everybody. I didn't die. And I'm like, okay, why? And he never answered the question in my dream that I can remember. But the whole point was that he actually fooled people into thinking that he was dead, which I, you know, seems like something he might have done or would have been.
What's his next move?
You know what? You know what? I think this was a dream. This was a dream that just told you he'll be with you forever.
The other thing I remember in the dream is that he was entirely masked up, like had a mask on because of COVID. Oh, yeah. But he was he was really mad about all the 6 feet of separation and things being closed and having to wear a mask, which...
Oh, that's squares.
Which would be him, too.
Wouldn't be crazy about that.
No, but he would be genuinely flipped out about COVID.
Right, yeah.
He'd be livid if people were around him without a mask, but then he'd be really mad, too.
Right. About having to wear one.
About having to wear one and the whole argument about it. Now it's probably bullshit and... I also think he'd have a bunch of hydrochloroquine and every kind of medication. No, he'd have plasma. Right. Somehow he would have plasma in his fridge. Because that's how he was, man. So that's really
Hey, Drew, by the way, Dr. Roche said hi and wanted to pass along that Janine could come over and give you a test.
Oh, a COVID test?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll have her come by and give me a COVID test.
I don't know. If
you know what?
They'll come to me. I'm turning into Mike Clark.
I really thought at the beginning of this that test was going to be a little painful. You know, oh my God, they're sticking it all the way back into your brain.
Bad, right?
I didn't have any issues. It just tickled for a minute. Like, not even a minute. It was literally like 5 seconds, and it was like, you know, you squeeze your nose and it's gone.
No, it's not bad at all.
You should get tested, bro.
Well, if I have it, it sure isn't too bad. I really don't think I have it.
I don't think you do. Anyway,
we were talking about some of the people who were getting in Twitter hell earlier today, and there was Brian Urlacher, Aubrey Huff, Herschel Walker's son, which was that had just come out when we were getting ready for the show, and I'm sure he's probably trending, or Herschel's trending, and then Max Kellerman, and I was like, Max Kellerman? I was watching ESPN this morning because of the NBA thing, and I was getting so annoyed with Max Kellerman. I really don't like Max Kellerman. Are you guys fans of Max Kellerman? Is anybody a fan of
him? I don't know who the hell he is.
I like Stephen A. better just because he's
more
bombastic.
Max Kellerman strikes me as this super woke white guy. I mean, just like super duper woke. Like, he's more woke than... They had two black people on the show today, and he seemed more woke than both of them combined. And he always does.
What? Generally.
So anyway, but he's usually very... I mean, woke people tend to be very cautious.
You're insane! Because they're
woke. And when I saw him trending, I was like, Max Kellerman's trending? Because he would never, in my opinion, he seems like the kind of guy that never says anything unexpected, out of the ordinary. It's just going to be woke across the board. But he, do you have the audio for Max Kellerman?
Yeah.
Stephen A., you made the argument a couple weeks ago that you thought that if SEC football wasn't played, that could swing the general election because people in the base, in Trump's base, would be very upset that they didn't have football, which is practically a religion down there. And I disagreed because he would simply shift blame. And, you know, because the pandemic is raging and they seem to be very low susceptible to very low quality information and easy to propagandize and almost immune to facts, because as Kellyanne Conway, an advisor of Trump, said, you know, they have alternative facts. And if they stay in their kind of propaganda silos, like of the Fox News propaganda silo, it wouldn't matter what happened because they would say, oh, no, the handling of the pandemic has been great. The handling of the pandemic has been the worst in the industrialized democratic world by far.
Okay. One thing, though, is that what about all the Big Ten players, parents, and coaches who all want to play football, too? And all the fans here want to play football. So what's different about the SEC people wanting to play football? And I think that's not what offended people, but I'm just pointing that out. Calling them susceptible to low quality information seems to me suggests that they're pretty stupid. And I guess that's how they took it, because it was trending. And I don't think it was trending because people were happy with Max Kellerman.
Yeah, basically a lot of the SEC fans are now fired up about it. And
well,
anything,
easy to propagandize and susceptible to low quality information, I mean, equals dumb. And also, you know, propaganda silos. A lot of people think that there's some other networks that are propaganda silos, too. But I didn't even hear him say it. I just saw him trending on Twitter, and it was a pretty rough trend. In fact, it was a pretty high trend, which is why I was like, Max Kellerman, did he fucking die? Because if it's going to be Max Kellerman, I'm going to figure it's pretty far down on the trending list. But I think Brian Urlacher and Aubrey Huff were similar trending, and it was a fun day on Twitter.
This is a very divisive one, this Kenosha thing. And
oh, is it? It is extremely. It's a lot more divisive than I ever thought it was. And you know why? Because people are, what's the word? People seem to be more weary of all of this at this point. And I think Black Lives Matter, which had tremendous support when it started, enough things have happened, you know, like this silly thing in Washington the other night where people go, oh, God, what is this organization? I mean, it's like total compliance or fuck you. And the lady, by the way, that was being yelled at said she's supports Black Lives Matter. She's marching them, but she still felt that it was like being forced by a mob to raise your hand, and she wasn't going to do it. And there was a long story about it today in the Daily Mail, which was, I mean, it wasn't just that lady. It was some other people, too. And also, she and another person said they were a little upset that people didn't come to their defense because they were, you know, threatened by this mob of people who were screaming at them. Some of them were guys, too. And apparently they called the Caucasian people to the front. In other words, they want, I don't know, I guess, is that the woke way to yell at a white person who won't raise their hand for Black Lives Matter? But anyway, the people in the restaurants kind of felt like, well, I don't really want to get mixed up in this either. So it was just sort of a really bummer thing. And I think when you say divided, I think people are just, they're tired of rioting. They're tired of things burning. They're tired of, you know, and that doesn't mean the people burning things aren't tired of it, too. But, you know, I saw that Minneapolis, some looting in Minneapolis, it had nothing to do with Kenosha. It was just people running around, fucking around, having fun and stealing shit, knocking shit over.
The Minneapolis one is different, too, because that a lot of that was based on false information where a guy shot himself, committed suicide during a standoff.
I'm just talking about Walmart, where... Oh. Did you see the video? I mean, it's a bunch of people whooping and hollering and having fun and knocking stuff over and you know, breaking screens. And after that starts happening, people start running off with stuff. And there's a couple of people that work there who are at first are trying to say, hey, knock it off. And then it's like, forget it. It's on. So I just noticed that the response of the NBA was, if you watch television and nothing else, you would think that this is the greatest thing ever. That this is perfect, that it's you know, this is going to be super, all the sports are going to come out. In fact, some people felt, it might have been Max Kellerman said, hey, if the NFL gets involved with this, it could turn the election. And I'm like, what, the NFL canceling its season? I can't imagine.
Not going to happen.
And the NBA thing, you know, what would have been ugly about that is, first of all, I think it would have jumped the shark for the NBA. I just think there's a lot of negativity about the NBA right now. Surely they'll survive. They'll always have fans. But I just think it would have been, for people who are down on the NBA, it would have made it worse. And the NFL, I just, that thought just was ludicrous to me. And people were suggesting all the sports should do it. And people were ragging baseball for not doing it. It was just like, oh, my God.
It's a very clear solution. If you don't like it, don't watch it then. I think they'll be fine without you.
Well, yeah, but those are, I mean, generally, you know, people who entertain don't want you to go fuck off. They want to be part of their sport, or they want to be part of their concert or whatever they're doing. So it's a little unusual.
Do you think they're genuine in what they're doing?
The NBA?
Yeah.
In some ways, yeah, I do. In some ways, not so much, because, you know, and I wasn't hung up on the China thing, but a lot of people were. A lot of people felt like, no, fuck was, you, you're not serious.
That was total bullshit.
And I understand that. And then also, You know, as far as calling out their own for certain things, none of these sports do that. They don't, you know, they take guys who, you know, commit sexual assaults. They want them on their team. Look at Antonio Brown. People want Antonio Brown. I don't know. He hasn't signed, though, has he?
I don't think he's signed.
But when the Patriots signed him, you know, that was after all this stuff and then some. And then we hear that Seattle wants him and so-and-so wants him and on. So I think it's... generally speaking,
I mean, are there any?
I would give them the benefit of the doubt because I don't want to get in a big hullabaloo over the NBA, but I understand why people are not.
What black people have a bigger platform though than say LeBron James?
Well, okay,
I'm just
this is what I think is going on with Cardi B and with a lot of people.
I understand, but at the same time, that's why they're doing it.
But they're athletes, and I think what's happened with the NBA, this is my personal opinion, is that the NBA, when we just watch basketball like we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we just love basketball. If you love basketball, you love it. You couldn't watch it enough. You love this guy, that guy, every guy on your team you loved. And as it moves into a political position, which is what a lot of people feel, like it or not, whether it's BLM or any of the other myriad things that they're involved in, it's just like everything else. It's politics. It's you're on this side. Everything coming from sports is on the left. There's nobody in sports who's going to say, you know, I'm having a rally for law enforcement or, you know, you're not going to find anybody joining James Woods or any of the other people. Hollywood is always on the left. Sports are always on the left. And so I think people that aren't on the left kind of see it as, oh, you know, I don't like it. And whereas Cardi B, and we're talking about her earlier, about how her whole persona helps her, I think in the NBA it may not have that effect.
I don't understand. I mean, I've said it before. I don't understand why you can't separate the two. Like, I can watch. Well,
you don't have to. You don't. You're on the left, though. You like that. You like what they're doing, and you think it's good. A lot of people don't feel that way.
I don't know if I would describe it as liking it. I don't have a problem with it. I understand where they're coming from.
Well, I'm not telling you what I feel or who I agree with. I'm just telling you a lot of people don't like it.
Can you watch
I'm not saying why they don't like it. I'm not saying they don't have a right not to like it. I'm not saying they have a right to like it.
Can you watch
they
a
just
movie
don't.
By Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I do. But I like Tom Cruise movies.
But we don't like his Scientology and the way he acts with
Scientology.
Yeah,
but I'm not everyone. Everyone doesn't feel the way I feel.
I understand that. I just don't understand.
I'm not representing everyone. But I'm telling you.
But this is the example of everybody split in half. So
They are.
So it just boils back down to that again.
But it does. I mean, I don't care what it is. Once it becomes political, it's just, I mean, you name it. The pandemic is political. How could a pandemic be political? It is.
Everything is now.
Everything is. And the NBA is more political than anything in sports. And, you know, it's one thing to have, I'm telling you, when they moved into the bubble and it's all Black Lives Matter and jerseys to say, I can't breathe, and Breonna Taylor, there's a lot of people who are like, that's not what they want when they watch basketball. I think a lot of people, sports is a getaway. Carl said the same thing. I don't know if we were on the show or off the show, but I asked him about it.
We were off. Yeah.
He said, I like it as an escape, and I don't really want all this mixed up in it. And I don't think Carl was saying,
I won't
watch
the end. Just got his dinner.
Oh. I don't think most people are going to make a big thing about it, but if you read the comments from people, what people are saying about it, just regular people who are commenting, and it's like, fuck the NBA, you know, who fucking cares? It's a lot of real negativity, but then you watch the coverage of it, and it's like, this is the greatest thing, and it's wonderful, and on and on and on. So there's a definite divergence between what you see and what I think is bubbling underneath. And, of course, what did Trump say today?
Believe me, the shut up and dribble faction is very loud. All you have to do is go on Twitter.
That's right.
Or look at an email.
Oh, he said the NBA is a political organization now. And I don't think Trump made people feel that way, and I don't think he's the only one that feels that way. It's a lot of people. And I don't know why their ratings are so far down. I think it's probably a combination of things, but that's definitely part of it. And I really think skipping the season would have been... I just don't know what they would have done. What would you do instead? And by the way, their platform...
The season's kind of a fucking joke anyway.
It is, but it's not a joke to the ownership. And the ownership, you know, this is the part of the season where the owners make the money. In the regular season, the players make the money. In the postseason, the pool is only $22 million. Actually, I'm going by 2019 dollars. And they said that the championship Raptors last year for the playoffs made $220,000. Now, how many games did the Raptors play? 20 games in the postseason? 22 games? I mean, it's not... That's $10,000 a game? I mean, that would be like minimum NBA salary for some guys making $20 or $30 million. So, financially, it would not have hurt the players to skip the season. But the owners, it would have hurt very badly. And the owners would not have been happy. And watching a lot more of this than I wanted to this morning, the conversation was about how the ownership was willing to help them achieve whatever they want to achieve, but play fucking basketball and we'll help you with all the other stuff. They did not want this to happen. And the talking heads on ESPN, and believe me, I really don't follow the NBA a great deal. When the finals come, I will be right there watching, or the semifinals probably too, but I'm not a big NBA watcher. If they were to skip the season, they felt that this would open up the labor contract next year, and it would be a whole new ball game because ownership would not be happy, and they would bargain hard. And I have no idea because I don't, like I said, I don't follow all that stuff. But why is everybody so bummed out about it?
What do you mean?
In the
room,
you seem
like you're all about to cry.
No, there's nothing I can say. So.
You can say whatever you want. What do you want to say?
Nothing. I find the people that are complaining about it never really watched it anyway.
I don't know.
Maybe that's because they lost them years ago, I guess.
I mean, their viewership is definitely down, and I don't know what that is. In this town...
yeah, but revenues are up.
I thought of a sport, left.
What's that?
Of a sport that isn't completely left, that's an exception to the rule.
What sport?
It's NASCAR. Come on.
Oh, NASCAR. Absolutely. And NASCAR's...
Yeah, but look how many people got pissed with the whole Bubba Wallace thing.
Yeah, well, that's the first time in how long now?
What do you mean?
Oh, it's the first time that they've sort of...
Because it was not... it was not put there for him?
No, just Confederate flags from, like, whenever its inception to all, last year.
There were a lot of people that were like, "Oh, no, I'm not watching that anymore," because they got rid of the Confederate flag.
That's true too. Yeah. See,
I
don't follow NASCAR, so I don't really know how angry people were.
Sports athletes have found out that they can speak up, and they will continue to wield that power.
Oh, they will. They will.
So I don't know. So I guess people aren't just going to watch any sports.
I've heard athletes say, "If you don't like this, fuck you. I don't care if you watch basketball."
Yeah.
So I don't think they're worried about it. In fact, this story that The Athletic did.
Was it like this in the late 60s, just out of curiosity?
Weren't there a couple of athletes
the big meeting in Cleveland with Jim Brown and Kareem? There's a whole pile of them.
I think it was not nearly on this level. Not even close.
People bolting the sport. I mean, did Kareem take shit? We know Muhammad Ali did.
Kareem took shit, absolutely. Kareem took shit. Not a ton, though, because Kareem was such a good player. He just sort of plowed through it.
LeBron's a pretty good player.
What do you think it would have been like in the year of, like Jackie Robinson playing, like if there'd been social media?
Jackie Robinson would have had it even tougher. Yeah. I think he had it hard enough.
Well, Hank Greenberg, too.
Yeah. No, a lot of guys. And, Ernie Banks and Hank Aaron, and that's, maybe it was... I can't remember if it was Willie McCovey or Billy Williams or one of those guys a couple of years ago was saying, because there was, this might have been around Ferguson, and somebody who had played in the 60s in the big league was saying, wow, you have no idea what it's like. We couldn't stay in the same hotels as our teammates. This is a decade after separate drinking fountains, separate bathrooms. Players would eat in restaurants, and black players couldn't eat in restaurants. There were only a couple black players on each team, too, so... It was not a great period. Jackie Robinson would not have liked social media. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, God, no.
That would not have gone very well. Oh, my God.
You guys should be proud of me, though. I just watched that movie, and I thought it was pretty good. 42?
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
See, not all sports are sports. Yeah. Somebody accused us of having a 3-hour sports show. I forgot what day it was. But let's see. Why did I want to violently disagree? Because the main story. Wait, it was a sports story, but it wasn't a sports story. What was the big sports show we had maybe last week? It was a big sports story.
Well, I mean, Tom Brenneman.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, it was Tom Brenneman. But that's not a sports story. That's a guy being canceled story to me. I mean, it's a sports guy, but we spent a lot of time talking about
that.
There's
a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos that will be a home run.
But I don't think of that as a sports story. It's not like an X's and O's, you know, shifts and that kind of zone defenses. It's a story about a guy saying a word and getting caught on the air. And so, I mean, if you're going
to
call
and
that a sports story.
And being able to make the call while he's in the middle of being apologizing, too.
That's still, that call will live in infamy. But
the new news on that was that Kevin Kugler will replace Don Brenneman on Fox's NFL coverage.
Oh, is that so?
Kevin Kugler.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, who is that?
And then Mike Milbury, too. So, you know, we talked about that. So maybe.
But, you know, as far as.
Stop stacking your announcer stories.
I was a little surprised. I think baseball was under a lot of pressure to take the day off because people were pissed at MLB for not taking the day off last night. Although three games were. The Brewers didn't play. The Dodgers didn't play. And somebody else didn't play. But as far as the NBA, the story about that the Athletic did, which there were a number of stories flowing from that, which was about how they lost 45% of the audience, television audience, since 2012, the NBA didn't give a fuck. I mean, they were like, and usually I find people when news like this is discussed, it's like, well, it doesn't matter because of this or because of that. I mean, that's a typical response, but I really got the impression they didn't give a shit that... and I don't know if it's because they make more money on merchandise now or or their TV deal is just so much money that it doesn't matter. You know, much like the NFL. The NFL, I don't think it, and nothing seems to matter with the NFL.
Isn't that kind of the way athletes are, though? They don't give a shit.
No, generally they don't. You know, that's, I think that's why that China thing was such a big deal because, you know, to actually, you know, draw a line in the sand that this cannot be talked about was, it just seemed, all of a sudden, it all seemed a little disingenuous, but it did cost, I mean, the league paid the price. What did they lose, $400 million? And they probably, no big fucking deal.
Now, I do think the NBA players are genuine. NHL, I'm not so sure, since they canceled the day. I feel feel like that was a little bit of follow the leader.
I think they're under pressure to do that.
That's what I mean.
So, and honestly,
they got a lot of shit yesterday for playing, despite all those other ones that were postponing. And Zdeno Chara comes out and he goes, "Dude, we just got to the ice. We were supposed to get changed and play. We didn't know about this. We didn't have time to come together and talk about it."
Well, I'm intrigued.
Are they going to get the kind of shit though that the NBA is getting now?
I don't think so, because I think a lot of people will see what will probably read between the lines. I'm really curious, though, because the Tiger game was canceled just before we started, and I'm really curious to go up and see what's written and what people are saying about it, because I have a feeling that it's just going to be – it's all going to be kind of lean on the negative side. I'm sure there'll be some people say, oh, my God, that's great, but I don't know what – I'm not really sure what's achieved by it. I don't really care. I'm sorry that I can't watch a game tonight. I guess that's pretty selfish of me.
Well, no, I think that's
that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, that's really what it's about. Same with college football. They just want to see it play.
There is no shortage of
that's all you care about.
That's really no shortage of awareness.
That's really what it is, though. People are mad because they want to watch this stuff.
There's, but there's just
people want to see college football.
There's no shortage of awareness of Kenosha. It's not like it's not a secret, and I want to see my game.
You know the hurricane situation in Louisiana,
which kind of blew everything out this morning. It was funny because I got up and it was like all night into the wee hours last night. It was NBA, 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 Kenosha, Kenosha, Kenosha. And then I got up and it was like
hurricane,
and all that was pushed way back on morning television.
Right.
And it probably will continue to be because what's going on with the hurricane?
Well, the hurricane got political today, though.
It got what?
It also became politicized because it hit St. Charles, Louisiana hardest, and they had been fighting over whether they've been fighting over whether to take a Confederate statue down, and a hurricane blew it over. Yeah. So it resolved
this
the problem.
A tough hurricane.
Oh my God.
For some people, and some people are mad.
Christ. Well, there
the
was
the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water, so it can't get going as fast as it's going.
Does anybody know offhand what the ratings were like for the Democratic convention? I was just curious if they, because I just read today the RNC was down 25% from 2016. So I wondered if the Dems were up, down, in between.
They're both boring.
I know they both plunged, but I do know that the DNC had higher ratings per day. For example, their opening day had more ratings, higher ratings than the RNC did. So people were throwing that in Trump's face.
Well, Trump will be. Did you know Ivanka's kind of hitting cleanup tonight? Isn't Ivanka right before Trump?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Ivanka and Rudy Giuliani and Trump.
Oh, God.
And I was thinking the other day, like, what happened to Ivanka? It seems like all you hear is DTJ and Eric and Lara and. You know,
Tiffany.
Very loud.
Don't forget Tiffany.
Well, Tiffany, yeah, I was rooting for her. Really
Who are they?
She's the black sheep of the family. But you rarely hear from her in normal times. It seems like when somebody's stirring shit up, it's always DTJ. It's generally DTJ, really, in the family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Melania stays fairly clear, and she got good marks for her speech, whatever she said, and she got Bette Midler canceled. But there was one very interesting thing I thought that was being discussed today, and that was that, I don't know if anyone watches Don Lemon. Actually, judging by his ratings, not a ton of people do, and I'm not a big fan of Don Lemon.
No, but he
made a big to-do the other night about how the Democrats' internal polls are saying that all the rioting and all the riffraff is causing them problems. In other words, it's hurting Biden.
Is that a surprise?
No, not to me. Although the polling hasn't changed that much. I mean, it's tightened up a little bit, but not that much. And then yesterday morning, or yesterday about midday, Biden made a big statement about we got to knock off the violence, that, you know, this is criminal and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, it's interesting that Don Lemon, you know, and he acted like it was a big scoop. And then the next day, Biden says something. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what their internal polling is. And I don't know if Don Cherry. I don't know if Don Lemon.
Don Lemon.
I don't know if he really knows.
Group.
I really don't know if he knows shit about what's going on in internal polling, but it was kind of interesting anyway.
Hey, Don Lemon, squeezy, keep it easy.
And then the only other thing really intriguing about the Republican convention, and it's not even intriguing, is last night they had a guy who is running for Congress who is paralyzed from a car accident.
Yeah, I saw him.
Okay, and he got up out of his chair.
Yeah.
And,
what? What?
And, yeah, he got up out of his chair. Swagger came up, hit him in the head, and he got up. No, he just stood up, and it wasn't easy, and then he recited the Pledge of Allegiance. This is the final trend on Twitter that I saw today. Hold on. A writer.
This is Madison Cawthorn, right? And
did you see this, Brandon? The PBS
reporter.
Well, I saw
some shit about Madison Cawthorn a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
that
okay. Madison Cawthorn. Yes, that's his name. PBS reporter was getting slammed. And I mean, people were livid because she said when Madison Cawthorn stood up from his wheelchair, it was a direct rebuke to black athletes taking the knee and protesting shootings.
Okay. I thought, whatever.
Wow, what?
It's quite a leap.
That's really reading. I think people are just thinking too much.
Yeah, it's a pretty big leap.
But you know, tomorrow's another day.
He also actually got in trouble. Well, they tried to get him in trouble a couple weeks ago because he visited the Eagle's Nest, Adolf Hitler's
Cawthorn
getaway retreat.
What?
Yeah, I guess it's a very popular. It's a very, very, very popular place to visit when you're over in Europe.
Really?
And he posted some pictures about it, and he just got ripped. Like, you're a Nazi
you know,
for going
I,
there.
I don't think I would post pictures from the Eagle's Nest. That's pretty, I mean, really? He's running for Congress? It just seems, doesn't seem like
nice
a good
view.
Idea.
Yeah, but I kind of want to go.
I kind of do too. I have to visit that. I would like to see that.
What? Why? That sounds boring.
I thought they tore it down. I didn't even know you could visit it.
Isn't it? I thought it was wasn't it a really incredible area?
Way up in the mountains.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, as I remember,
I didn't know. I thought it just sounded like some shithole.
No, I only remember being portrayed in a movie or two, I think. And it seems to me it was very scenic.
Well, it was in Band of Brothers, right? That's the big. Like, didn't they liberate that area?
Huh.
From HBO?
That was where, was that where Hitler, OD'd? Not OD'd.
No, that was the bunker in
Berlin.
That was
the bunker in Berlin.
Oh, that's right.
That's the shithole.
Isn't the Eagle's Nest like in Austria?
Yes, just, yes. Yeah.
Way up in the mountains or Switzerland maybe? I don't know.
I think it's Germany.
Now, today locally, just a couple things. I got one really angry email from somebody who said that Ann Arbor was banning tubing at Argo Cascades on the Huron River. And the reason is because the students are back and the students like to pile in there in their tubes. And they, I guess they don't socially distance enough. So he was all upset about that. And they had actually limited tube rentals and they had done all these things to keep it going. But then those damn students come back and they just bring their own tubes and all hell breaks loose. So they just knocked it out. And Livingston County has a spike in COVID-19 among teenagers. And they say it's because school is back and so kids are socializing and a lot of extracurricular activities. And so, and they actually interviewed a couple kids, too. They said basically they're ignoring the pandemic entirely when they want to hang out. And I saw that story about, did you guys see the story about a shooting? A 15-year-old was shot in an apartment in Dearborn last week.
No.
Yeah, it was shot by a 15-year-old. And it was, I forgot what the story was, but it ended up being that a bunch of kids were hanging out and the mom was asleep or whatever. And all I could think was, oh, that's nice. You know, have 8 or 10 kids over in the middle of COVID. Everybody's behaving themselves, but, you know, have a bunch of 15-year-olds over and have a little gun party. And I guess Heartland High School has gone completely remote because they have a little spike, too. And so.
Well, most high schools are remote, aren't they?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know if they were completely remote. They just said they're going remote. Mm. And they had a couple kids on there who were upset. They're thinking prom might be in jeopardy.
Oh, no.
Football.
Prom.
Exciting things, dancing.
Prom was played out.
I know. I always thought prom was played out myself, but boy, was I wrong. Yeah. All right, thanks to Carl from Who Are These Podcasts for stopping by. And I highly recommend the Gallagher interview by Pauly Shore. It's just the fun never ends. Actually, I haven't listened to the original Pauly podcast, but that might be worth a listen to. Carl definitely hit some high points. And why don't you get us out of here and get into another COVID weekend. Yeah. Wow. Any exciting plans, Trudy?
Yeah, possibly.
Really? You're the most COVID social of all of us. Trudy's COVID social?
I kind of get. I need to. I've got a thing tonight, so.
What?
I'll tell you.
Okay. I don't know. Another job thing.
It's my third job.
Oh.
Have you seen any Wheels commercials yet, Trudy?
No, they're still running them.
I haven't seen one since. I saw them on a couple Tiger games last week, and I've been. I haven't watched the Tigers as carefully the last few games, but.
Wow.
Yeah, they had a full-blown commercial. Pretty decent.
Yeah. I'm excited. I feel like it's a lot of fun, and we're kicking some ass, man.
You feeling that Wheels momentum?
Yeah, and I appreciate all the Drew and Mike fans who listen, too.
Amen. And don't forget, our show, Highlights, if you haven't heard all of the weekly activity, Highlights on WLLZ on Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 9 in the slot that we used to have. We now have, again, if we could just get our first slot back, all would be good with the WLZ world, but we'll take it. 7-9 Saturday and Sunday morning on 106.7 WLZ, the home of Trudy, from 10 to 3. So have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll see ya.
Get to the top.
chopper!
Hey, pussy, the doctor will see you now.
Guess who just got reinstated?
Sit on the doctor's couch.
The chair.
Writing a prescription for your butthole. I mean, ear hole.
Don't feel good.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting. I don't feel good.
If you don't listen to the Doc of Rock, he'll diagnose you with AIDS.
Better have insurance, because the Doc of Rock's gonna fuck you up.